If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
And okay.
Does it frustrate you to constantly aim for humor and yet miss so dramatically?
I don't know where I'm going with this.
Leave the comedy to the professionals.
Checking one, checking one. God, goddamn. Check, checking. Check, fuck, cock, check, pan. Check one, pan. Checking, pan.
Boy, you sure know your comedy.
I realize you guys are funnier when I smoke a fat ass bowl. Lazy.
Smoking marijuana to blow your mind is like throwing sand in a delicate machine and hoping nothing goes wrong.
Dude, nah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
No problem, man.
Roll another one.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
God damn it, I love pot.
Just pass it on down.
And now,
Kevin and
Bean.
Yeah, we're new.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33, and it is Friday, the 4th of May. I see them.
Hello, those are my breasts.
Exactly.
I don't know who's scheduling the holidays this year, but I'm not happy because they're all coming on Saturdays.
I know, every one of them.
That's bogus. We need to contact whoever that is, give them a call, say, hey, Cinco de Mayo, Saturday, no.
St. Patrick's Day, Saturday. What the hell?
Come on now.
That's
one way to look at it. Another way is that people can all celebrate. They don't have to take a day off work in order to go to a party or be crazy that day.
Well, good for them, but what about us?
Yeah, what about us?
That's what we're saying.
Cares about them.
Okay.
We should be someplace today, live, Cinco de Mayo. But no, somebody schedules it on a Saturday.
Yeah, well, I think it just works that way. I think that's the function of the calendar, Kevin.
Why didn't get us whoever scheduled the holidays this year?
It doesn't work that way. The holidays are on the same date every year, but then it's always going to show up on a different day. It's just how the calendar works.
But Saturday, and then Saturday, and then Saturday.
I have some bad news that I'm going to go ahead and break to you now.
Nope,
next year it's going to be on a Sunday.
No, so, really?
That's
so
bogus.
There's nothing you can do about it. I'm sorry.
That's just bogus.
Wow.
How's everybody doing, Lisa?
I'm fine.
Bean, big plans for the weekend?
No, I'm
trying
just to decide. No, seriously, trying to decide whether it's worth trying to see Spider-Man this weekend, or if I just ought to just blow it off for the weekend and just go see it during the week when maybe I have a shot at getting a good seat.
I think early next week is my plan.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I really want to see it. I'm, you know, like everyone, I really want to see it. But, you know, every single midnight show in the United States sold every single ticket through Fandango. And then they started adding 3 a.m. shows for Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Right. And but those are the Geekalicious guys that are going to midnight.
But who everyone else is going this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's 8 o'clock this morning. They're going to be selling out theaters for people who are dying to go. And at 10 and at noon and at 2. It's going to be that way all weekend long. So it's just... I'm not like you in that I don't enjoy a huge packed auditorium where every seat is taken and everybody's right. loud. I don't enjoy that at all.
Well, everybody's loud.
I've never seen a movie.
Yeah, everybody's loud in an excited way, laughing or whatever, clapping. I'm into, you know, talking to each other, not so much. But I like the energy of the crowd. And I don't have the patience to wait till next week.
Well, the theaters aren't going to be empty next week. They'll just won't be as
full. Oh, yeah.
I'm saying I don't have the patience for that.
Really?
With a movie like Spider-Man, you know, the theater's not exactly going to be packed with, like, the bohemian moviegoers. I mean, it's going to be, like, loud young kids that are going to be two-wang and doing all that stuff.
I mean, a theater full of Daves.
Yeah.
Man, I'm working with a lot of people who don't like people. I'll tell you that right now.
Well,
I like crowds.
Well, I'm just not there to see the people. I'm there to see the movie and, you know, not have it be that crowded.
Contact with human beings.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the king, do we have an intern or somebody we can just kind of post outside his room just to keep an eye on him? Because he's on the suicide watch. You know, I mean, Dave, bad news for him yesterday.
I didn't
suicide
hear.
Suicide watch, Dave. Suicide watch. What happened?
Well,
Kristen Bell?
Not quite. Gilmore Girls were canceled.
Gilmore Girls? I
thought they were getting
that show has been on for 20
I
years.
I thought they were getting good ratings, no?
No. You know, Dave, I love the CW. Any of the shows on the CW, I've been watching all the time, long time.
He has the taste of a 13-year-old girl.
He truly does.
Apparently, Dave's not here yet because, I can't tell you why he can't drive. But
Lightning's here.
Lightning is here, and Lightning picks him up every day for the last, month.
Yeah.
Apparently, Dave not ready when Lightning stopped by.
He actually had him stop by his house, and he wasn't ready.
Not ready.
Oh, dude. Dang. So he's not coming in today? Or
I don't know. All I know is Lightning said, not ready, gotta go, bye.
Which is what
I would have done a month ago, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. But I tried to have an intervention on that. I tried to say it's not your business's responsibility to get you to work. That's something you should be working out without, you know, inconveniencing Lightning.
And when he turns 15 and a half or whatever it is, you can finally get your permit. What'd you say, Mike?
You'd ride your bike?
He'll ride his bike here.
Dave?
He has to, yeah.
He'll ride his bike?
Yeah, from Long Beach.
Dave?
Yeah.
No, come on.
How long would that take him?
He'll get here at like 10:30.
He'll get here at 2. Yeah.
2 p.m.? I don't see Dave as a fast bike rider. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't either.
I don't see his feet flying around in circles.
Well, I think he probably overslept this morning because he was up late watching Gilmore Girls DVDs, is my guess, just because he can't get his head around the fact that his show's gone.
And crying, sobbing while he drinks?
Yes. While he's with a quart of Haagen-Dazs ice cream on the couch with all of his girlfriends.
Pour me some more Red Bull. And then he realizes there's no one there. Oh, okay.
I know Kevin was in the office yesterday when this happened. I don't know if Bean was still on the phone. I was blown away yesterday when Lightning was talking about how Dave stays up so late at night, and he's got to learn. Dave's like, why? I sleep during the day. Was anybody else like blown away by it?
I was trying to figure out how late he does stay up. I said, Dave, do you go to bed at all? He goes, oh, yeah, I go to bed. Well, but I never figured out what time.
The problem is, since Sunday night, Coachella, we stayed up all night. We came into the show, and then he went home and went to bed during the day. And he hasn't been able to flip it and stop sleeping all day and sleep at night. So he'll go home and take a nap, and then he just sleeps however long he happens to sleep. And then he gets up, and he's not tired. And
he is employed, though. I mean, what does he mean by sleep during the day? I mean, he's here till at least 3 o'clock. I mean, what is...
Is he here till 3? I don't know.
I assume so.
Lightning, how long is it going to take you to plug those headphones in, would you guess?
Wound up in some kind of crazy ball.
How long would you guess that's going to take?
Are you new in radio? Do you not know how they work?
He was in there for like he was over there for 5 minutes trying to plug them in.
Wound up like a bad rubber band.
This is the guy we have telling the guests how to put on the headphones.
Right.
Normally they're expanded by that point. So, I've been taking Dave home for a while now. He has to wait for me. So he has been here till 3, 4, whatever.
Oh, right.
Listen, guys, I have never in my life experienced what I believe is potentially narcolepsy. This MF-er falls asleep all the time, everywhere. It doesn't matter where we are. I've been carting him around for the last month with just running errands for the clothing store, for this, for that, for that. No matter where we drive, when we drive, how loud I have the music, if I'm on the phone, run to the store, come out, he's asleep. He's always asleep everywhere. He's asleep.
But the problem is he doesn't sleep at home at night. That's the problem.
Because he has the life of – he's a single guy with no one there, and he just does what he wants when he wants, and during the day right now with no ride, he just farts around and just rests.
See if I got this straight. You take him on all of your errands?
I have weird. To. I have to because I have certain things I get out of here.
Dave,
you know,
I got to do some errands. I'm going to come pick you up.
Dude, he's been with the lighting fixture store. He's been to pick up Ross shirts.
I wonder when he's not getting rest.
I carted him to San Bernardino one day. I mean, all over the place.
He's getting plenty of rest.
I don't know.
He just sleeps all the time.
Sleeping in the car, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Kega Mexico, how do you explain that?
Orange?
No.
So did he oversleep this morning?
Not so much.
Yes.
You
I went by
up,
his
basically?
House and I called him. I said, normally he's sitting on the porch. And I said, Dave, what's the story? And he goes, oh, man. I said, just whip on some clothes and come out here. No, I got to take a shower. I'll have my brother bring me. I said, dude.
Okay,
fine. And I just left.
But here's the thing, Lighting, and you need to finally say this. Why don't you have your brother bring you every day?
Yeah.
It's not my responsibility to give you a ride.
Nah, you know... Lisa went through this with like Doc, and yeah,
it's,
I mean,
because it's just a little out of your way. It's not that far out of your
I
way.
I set you up
at
3 weeks
point,
ago.
Bean,
I brought this up in the meeting.
Very,
and I said,
I appreciate
but
it.
That was doing the heavy lifting. That was doing the hard work for you. All you had to do was close it. All you had to do is go. You know what, Dave? Bean's right. Seriously, I can't do this anymore.
It's hard because Dave's a friend. He's not just a person you work with.
Yeah.
Dave is a friend, but it's been more than a month.
But I don't feel bad about picking him up. But I do feel now bad about it. It's like enabling him to be lazy and not.
Well, yeah, you can't do anything about
that. He needs your help with that.
Yes, he does.
You can't stop him from being lazy. He's Dave. Come on.
Yeah. And I would be angry if I took the time to get to his house and then he's not ready.
Well, I mean, this is obviously abnormal. He's normally sitting
this
there waiting for
Coachella.
Me.
It's all Coachella. We're going to pass this all
Coachella.
Off for Coachella.
It'll take him 2 weeks to get over Coachella. Yes, and by the way, maybe Alex. Yeah, we all look pretty bad on Monday.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's Friday morning, and that means we got the movie beat, and Ralph's going to take a look at Spider-Man 3.
Excellent.
Yes.
Very excited. Also, we have a new movie in theaters today. Civic Duty is the name of it. Peter Krause is on the show today.
Love him.
I do, too. He's a great actor. He's probably best known as Nate, the star of 6 Feet Under. But the movie looks good. The title doesn't exactly draw you in.
No.
It doesn't sound rollicking, does it?
No. Civic Duty. No, it's not. No, you're right.
I mean, it sounds like a guy on jury duty is what it sounds
yeah.
like. You know?
It's the dude. You may have seen the commercials. It's the dude that that has a Middle Eastern guy move in downstairs, and he starts suspecting that he's a terrorist. He doesn't know what to do and all this kind of stuff. I saw it yesterday. It's pretty good.
Oh, good.
Pretty good. So we're going to have him in the studio today. We have Shane Mosley in the studio today. He is a former, I think, three-time world champion boxer and
Dude.
Sparring partner for Oscar De La Hoya.
Wow.
For the big fight tomorrow night. Plus, we have highlights of 24/7, Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather Jr. Floyd carries millions of dollars with him in cash. I love that.
He like throws stacks. Money everywhere he goes.
Stacks of hundreds. Stacks.
I make it rain.
He's the best. So we got that coming up this morning. We have in the 6 o'clock hour that we want to look for the shortest marriages. I don't know if you heard the story yesterday, but Ralph did it in the showbiz beat. Jennifer Esposito and Bradley Cooper married 4 months and filed for divorce. 4 months.
Wow.
Well, at least they gave it a try.
Shot, yeah.
They took marriage seriously.
Also, we're going to talk to the Reverend Kevin Bean today.
That's his real name, right?
Yeah.
This isn't you guys?
No, we questioned Ralph about 15 times on it. Nope, it's his real name, Reverend Kevin Bean. Can you imagine?
That's so funny.
How bad that would be?
What kind of church is that?
Satan.
Of course.
Also this morning, we are going to give away more tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2007. This morning, it's Orchestra de la Raza.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Love that.
So your chance to win is coming up. Ralph is next with the showbiz. You guys are going to think I'm kidding because it just doesn't seem possible, but I did get an email in the last 2 days asking what that song was that said everything.
No.
Yeah.
You did not. Didn't.
Yeah. And for some reason, Anything by Dramarama is that song that people can never figure out who it is. And we've been playing it for 15 years?
Yep.
Forever. We've been playing it forever. That was the first song that the station played when it signed on in the 60s. So that band, by the way, Dramarama, little piece of K-Rock trivia, played the very first K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas concert way back when. It's 5:52 Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph doing double duty today. He'll have the movie beat talking about Spider-Man 3 later this morning. Right now, he's got our first showbiz beat for the day. Good morning, Ralph.
Morning.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Somebody's in Philadelphia, and somebody was out drinking last night, I'm guessing.
I'm never drinking again.
By the way, I ran into a Kevin and Bean fan last night in Philadelphia.
While drinking?
Yes.
Nice.
Very odd. Lovely young couple, Halman and his girlfriend. They were on their way to the Peter, Bjorn, and John concert.
Oh, all right.
And they're walking down the street, and they go, hey, you're Ralph from the Kevin Beach Show. What the hell are you doing here? So it was very nice to meet them. But they're big fans. They still listen online here in Philadelphia.
How
so
about that?
Oh, well, we appreciate
a little
that.
A little shout out. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? This is the greatest story ever. Los Angeles city attorneys are requesting that Paris Hilton spend 45 days in jail.
Yes.
Dude.
As punishment for her alleged probation violation, she got popped for DUI on January the 15th. Therefore, her second violation on February 27th was a, in their words, flagrant violation of the law. The papers from the city attorney's office also say they demand that she enrolls in an alcohol education program.
That's hot.
Like she needs more education about alcohol. She's a genius when it comes to alcohol.
Hasn't she learned enough?
That is her topic. That might be the two things she knows the most about.
She has to spend 45 days in the slammer. Her license will be suspended for 4 months. Her car will be impounded for 30 days. And she's going to have to wear a SCRAM.
Oh, really?
Secure continuous remote alcohol monitoring device that straps to your ankle and smells your skin for alcohol. So
that's the best news ever, Ralph.
Should all this come to pass, it'll be good times for Paris.
So we don't know if that's going to happen yet. We'll find out today from the judge. That's what they're asking, right?
This is what the city's attorney is requesting from the judge to sentence her with. Yeah.
Fantastic.
You know, it would be good for her to see that the world is not just the little bubble that she lives in. I think it would be eye-opening. I don't know necessarily that she's bright enough to learn anything from it, but I would like her to be exposed to something other than the Hilton lifestyle.
I would like her to be repeatedly raped in the showers with a plunger.
Oh, well, I'm not saying that. I can't go that far.
Somebody was
burly lesbian.
Somebody's still drinking.
No, I wish I was. I'd be much happier. Grumpy because I'm hungover. I think every celebrity has a problem with alcohol. That's my new theory.
Yeah.
Have you seen the footage of David Hasselhoff?
Yes.
No.
Well, it's time to hassle the Hoff.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
Last night on Entertainment Tonight and The Insider, they were showing video allegedly shot by David Hasselhoff's 16-year-old daughter, Taylor, in which Hasselhoff is lying on the floor in just a pair of jeans trying to eat a hamburger. He doesn't manage it so well.
Aww.
He can barely hold his head up. He doesn't even know who she is, it looks like.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She's running the video camera. He's completely slurring his words. He is just blasted out of his mind. She's begging him not to drink anymore. I think we have a little clip from this tape.
So, Dad, you need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight, okay?
What?
You need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight.
What?
Okay?
Because
if you get alcohol tonight, you're fired from your show tomorrow. And the doctor is coming over here in the morning to check your alcohol level. And if you have any alcohol in your system, you're going to be fired from the show. Tomorrow. You hear me? No alcohol.
Okay.
He's so drunk. What difference does it matter what he does that night?
Yeah, I mean, isn't he still going to have alcohol on that level?
He's still going to be hungover.
Weeks.
No, an ounce of alcohol takes about an hour and a half to be processed through your system.
Okay, so 100 ounces?
Yeah,
how
like
long
two
does
gallons.
That take?
Well, it was midday, so I guess if he slept it off, he could sober up by the next day. So
is the backstory that he had been to rehab, Ralph, and he requested he be videotaped the next time he got drunk? Isn't that what they were talking about yesterday?
That was part of the story, yeah.
That's what they're saying.
He said to his family, look, embarrass me if I get drunk again by taping it and showing it to me so it'll help me recover.
Was he supposed to show it to the world? Or just
I don't know about that part.
Now, how did that happen?
Now, his 16-year-old, by the way, telling dad he's going to get fired.
Oh, I know. She's being the adult.
Yeah.
Did Kim Basinger leak the tape? Is that what we think?
I think so, yeah. Can you imagine the tapes that Kevin's kids are going to make when they're 16?
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be like a box set. You're going to have like 12 DVDs, and there'll be features and commentary and bonus features.
Hey, after Coachella, I'm not drinking again.
That's right. I forgot. I'm sorry.
I do have a clip of Mr. Hasselhoff's apology after the tape got out, with obviously the embarrassment to himself and his family. Here's a little piece of that.
I'm embarrassed. What happened yesterday? I'm embarrassed for the Yankees.
I don't think that's...
The fans. And my family.
That's not him.
Family. No. So I have to say, I'm sorry.
Well, he sounds pretty broken up about it.
I have the tape. That wasn't him. This is Hasselhoff.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Okay. So, okay.
Anyone else have any tape of payment saying they're sorry?
That'll do it.
Okay. David said that he had one brief relapse one evening. That's what he's claiming.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But part of recovery is relapse. So, everything's right on schedule.
Didn't he leave
Did you guys already talk about this and I wasn't listening? Did he leave rehab and go to a hotel? And
we didn't talk
empty
about
a hotel bar of those tiny little alcohol
yes.
bottles?
Yes. He checked yes. out of Betty Ford, checked himself into a hotel, emptied the mini bar, and was found the next morning passed out on the floor of the hotel.
Oh, man.
Good times.
What? Didn't he also go through a drive-thru? Hammered and like pass out of the
yes,
drive-thru?
Yes, he fell
with,
asleep, basically.
With a bottle of booze in his hand? Yeah.
I think it was an In-N-Out.
Good yeah. time.
He loves himself shirtless, doesn't he?
He does.
He may have been getting the very burger he was trying to eat on this tape. It might all be tied in.
What's his appeal?
Well, that's a good question.
Lindsay Lohan also has a drinking problem, according to Star Magazine.
Wow.
Now that she's out of rehab, she's finding secret ways of sneaking drinks, going to great lengths to make sure no one sees her drink. She will put cocktails on other people's credit cards so there's no proof existing of her drinking. She will hide the drinks in different glasses and different bottles and has been known to throw temper tantrums when booze runs out at parties and events where she's partying.
Oh, my God.
It's a good thing nobody knows what she looks like because they would be able to spot that.
That's true.
You know, this is just like Paul Abdul with that that cup that looks like it's Coca-Cola sitting
Dude,
at the American
right.
Idol desk.
Never yeah. been drunk, Paula.
Never. And the New York Post is teasing us with the fact that someone is claiming there is some very naughty behavior conducted by Lindsay Lohan that has recently been recorded on a video cell phone.
Fantastic.
Camera that they claim, and this is their quote, will test the allegiance of her young fan base.
Dude.
Yeah, that's hot.
Yes,
so
that
we
is.
We don't know exactly what the behavior is, but hopefully we'll be seeing that soon. So I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, that's hot.
And Orlando Bloom is better than us.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
here's how he recently dealt with a stalker. He's doing an interview for Gotham Magazine, and he said he went back to his hotel in New York City and found a strange woman waiting for him in his hotel room. She said she had broken into his room because she'd been to all of his premieres throughout the U.S., and he never said hello to her. And
well,
she
that's
was
reasonable.
Upset. So Orlando says, I felt bad for her. I turned around and went over to her and gave her a hug and said, it's cool. I'm sorry you feel let down or disappointed, but it's the nature of my life is I can't necessarily stop every time. It's not because I don't want to. He gave her a hug, and apparently she left and walked out of the hotel room.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, that's the story.
Who behaves like that? What is your theory, Kevin? That
Come
he just
on.
Begged her?
What do you think?
I'm kind of excited.
That's what she said.
He took her right to bed.
I believe this story.
Yeah.
Well, what did she look like? Do we know?
No, it doesn't say, but...
Wow.
I'm guessing if she's a stalker, she's probably not hot.
Not super hot.
You don't find a lot of hot stalkers.
That's true.
In which case,
true.
He patted her on the head and sent her on her way.
Yeah, it could be.
Yes. Like the Grinch did, little Cindy Lou Who. He gave her water and pushed her off and stole her Christmas tree for some reason.
What?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jackie Jackson of the Jacksons is 56 years old today. I didn't even know there was a Jackie Jackson.
He's a brother of Michael?
Yeah, he's one of the Jacksons. Five.
He's one of them.
Who knew?
Originals. Comedian Anna Gasteyer from Saturday Night Live. She is 40 years old today. Mike Dirnt of Green Day turns 35. And Lance Bass.
Oh!
I think. I knew Psycho Mike would appreciate that.
Yep.
He's 28 years old today. I think he's single, too, Psycho, so maybe you can
give
a call. And
hooray!
Blow out his candles for his birthday. Speaking of blowing out candles, Lisa May. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Sound familiar, Ralph?
Oh, yeah. 24-7.
HBO? 24-7. It's Kevin DeBeach Show at 10 minutes after 6. Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Oscar De La Hoya tomorrow night.
This is the HBO reality show leading up to the fight, and I have not seen it, but Oscar De La Hoya is trying to find the guy who exploded a nuclear bomb in Canyon Country?
That's
and he's
just
racing against the clock, and the president is corrupt?
That's
and the
just
whole
24.
Deal
that's 24 on Fox.
Well, what's this one, then?
24-7, Oscar De La Hoya versus Floyd Mayweather Jr.
So this must be better. Okay, because it's got more numbers.
Yes.
In this one, Oscar De La Hoya is trying to find Kevin Spacey, who's a serial killer.
Nope.
And he's killing everybody according to like the seven deadly sins.
I don't,
and his wife's head's
seven.
In a box.
That's seven.
Oh.
Floyd Mayweather Jr., by the way, his father was a boxer and was Oscar De La Hoya's trainer for 6 years.
That's
right
weird.
On.
And then they said, well, if I'm going to fight your son, I guess I better get a new trainer. And he finds Freddie Roach, and Jr. doesn't want his dad. Has his uncle train him instead.
Wow.
Spectacular.
Well, Floyd Sr. also said to Oscar, give me $2 million to train you to beat my son.
He did?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
And Oscar, being notoriously cheap, said, not so much.
What's that in pesos?
Well, I have some clips from the show. This is Floyd Mayweather Jr. talking about his dad growing up and how hard he was on him.
My dad was real hard on me, real hard on me. I can't make no mistakes. You know, if I make a mistake, you know, my dad, you know, kind of cussed me out, slapped me.
Good.
Checked me.
Excellent.
Chastised me.
All
put
right.
me in my place. Uh-huh. No pain, no gain.
That's his dad. No pain, no gain.
You make a man out of him.
You got to make a man out of him. Here's where Floyd Sr. tells us why his son is good at boxing.
It's no accident that Lil Floyd is good as he is. He's my son, and I'm his father.
There you go. That's why he's that good. Now, his uncle just got out of prison. So that's who he's having training him, Floyd Mayweather Jr. Roger. Here's Oscar De La Hoya talking about his new trainer, who's Freddie Roach. And I didn't know anything about Freddie Roach, although he's apparently huge, obviously. But he has Parkinson's that he got from being in the boxing game.
Oh, really? So,
and this is Oscar De La Hoya talking about him.
I'm still in awe with Freddie Roach because, as we all know, he does have Parkinson's. You know, how is he going to handle the rigorous training, the day-to-day, you know, in, out for 2 whole months? And, you know, we have to keep up with him. It's incredible. It's amazing.
He's an amazing guy. And here he's talking about his view of his own Parkinson's.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't want anyone to feel bad for me or sorry for me. Parkinson's is just something I deal with every day, and life has served that up to me, and I just deal with it.
Wow. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Freddie says the training actually helps him control the disease because it keeps his muscles moving and keeps him focusing on his eye-hand coordination and that kind of stuff, so it's actually helping him with therapy.
Now, Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s uncle, Roger, who just got out of prison, who's training him, he's a special fella. And they're doing press calls, press conferences, and they do it on the phone. Mm-hmm. So Freddie Roach, the guy we just heard, who's training Oscar De La Hoya, is on the phone, and the guys from Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s camp call in and say that they're somebody else so they can get on and talk to him and burn him. Now, this is Roger, fresh out of prison, and you can't really understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you that he's asking him how they're going to get by Floyd Mayweather Jr., and he really, really finds himself quite funny. Like, he really, really burns him. At first, he says his name is Jerry, and then they say, oh, the woman on the line says, oh, I didn't, this isn't who I thought it was. Like, they were totally bagging it. Uh-huh. So then he asks the question, and it's fantastic.
Hello?
It's not Jeremy. Who's, can you please identify yourself?
This is Jim. I can't talk.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm Jeremy. I want to know what the strategy, how to deal with Mr. Mayweather.
Can you repeat that?
I said, I want to know the strategy and how to deal with Mr. Mayweather.
Watch May 5th and you'll see it.
You understand, this is Floyd's trainer.
Right.
Calling Oscar's trainer.
Yes.
Right.
Huh?
Watch May 5th and you can enjoy it.
I don't want actual game plan. I just want to see how you going to deal with me.
Could you speak English, please?
Guy. No, I want to ask you.
So then he hangs up.
Yeah.
And Roger really, really believes that he has just nailed them. He's all happy with himself.
Woo! What a crank call.
What a burn! I got him! So now Roger's talking about Floyd Sr. This is the big thing. Floyd Sr., Floyd's dad, is not training him. His brother, Floyd's uncle, is.
Right.
And Roger's now talking about how he and Floyd Sr. get along.
He ain't got to give me no inside tips. I don't need no inside tips. If his son listens, he got to give them to his son, right? But his son gonna listen to me. I'm the best on the planet. Now, who wouldn't want me? Unless something wrong with him.
That's his dad. I'm the best on the planet. Who wouldn't want me? I don't know. Your son doesn't. Here's Roger talking again about saying his sorry to his brother.
I ain't put no gun to your son's head and say, look, you need to train with me. So why all of a sudden would I need to make up, I need to make up and say, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry for what?
That guy should join the Ying Yang Twins.
No, you didn't. That's a good idea.
Here's Floyd Sr. talking about Floyd, who's really, really outrageous on the TV show. I mean, he's dancing in Oscar De La Hoya's face and calling him names, and he's just being a dick.
But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know this kid now. Y'all running this film on TV. I don't know him.
Aw, Dad doesn't recognize son. That's sad.
That is sad.
Floyd Mayweather Jr. trains, lives in Las Vegas, and that's probably not good for him. He carries around cash all the time. When he gets his picture taken, he puts out like $1 million worth in his hands. He carries like hundreds of thousands of dollars in his pants pocket, his coat pocket, everywhere. He's got cash everywhere.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't like credit cards. And it's probably not good that he lives in Vegas.
With the Vegas Strip just a Rolls-Royce ride away, Floyd visits the sports book nearly every night of the week. Tonight's bet, $34,000 on Allen Iverson's Denver Nuggets.
Oh, $34,000 bet that night.
Oh, my God.
It's nothing.
That particular night. How crazy is that?
He's going to burn through the money he makes on this fight in a year.
He's making over $20 million, we heard yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Which is not bad. This is one of those huge celeb fests that's going on tomorrow in Vegas at the MGM.
Go whoop his ass!
I'm sorry. This is Floyd in the ring just before the fight, mm-hmm. and he's dancing around singing like he's Muhammad Ali.
I'm a razzle. I'm a dazzle. I'm going to be flashy. Them boys can't pass me. I'm getting that cash. I'm whooping their ass. Goddamn, that boy, he living that flash.
Yeah, I wish he was that flashy in the ring, but he's not really.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be that good of a fight necessarily. So here's the Oscars camp talking about the celebs.
Yesterday, actually, Jack Nicholson confirmed. We have Michael Jordan. We have Tiger Woods. We have Matthew McConaughey, Eva Longoria, Peyton Manning. We have Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony. As a matter of fact, Mark Anthony is going to sing the national anthem.
So it's going to be one of those deals.
And Oscar loves that because he's all about showbiz. I mean, he's a Hollywood kid.
And we love Jennifer Lopez, don't we?
We do. Jennifer's the best.
and Matthew McConaughey, too.
Matthew McConaughey, right. And then this is the final quote from Floyd Mayweather Jr. just before the fight tomorrow night.
Right now, people that's at home say, I'm going to pay to see that kid get his ass kicked. Say what you want to say about me. I've been calling Oscar out for years. And May 5th, here it is.
Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather Jr., tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. It can't possibly live up to that hype, can it?
Can't live up to that music.
And we're going to talk to Shane Mosley, who was Oscar De La Hoya's trading partner, coming up at 8 o'clock this
morning. We want to visit a story that Ralph told us about a couple of days ago about another Hollywood marriage that broke up. A lot of them don't seem to last all that long. And I don't know if they're maybe celebrities are just like us or if it's they have additional pressures because of the high-profile nature of their jobs. I don't know.
I think that, Ralph, you're there, right?
Yeah.
I think they – don't you think they just have more options than we do?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
I think they can get married easier. They can do. They tend to do things on a whim easier because there's less repercussions, I think, for rich and famous people.
Yeah.
They can act on their impulses more than the average Joe who has to pay the price if he screws up.
I mean, let's be honest.
They jump into stuff easier, I think.
If Bean's going to get divorced, that's it. I mean, that's it.
He's never getting married again.
He'll never find another woman.
Right.
So he
right.
No, but the truth is, let's say I were to get a divorce, you know, there would be a certain amount of disappointment and, you know, shame and, you know, repercussions, as Ralph said, from your family and friends who would be like, dude, either what a loser or dude, that's really heartbreaking. But with celebrities, it's almost just like people go, well, they're famous. That's what they do. You know what I mean? It's almost like nobody really treats them like real people.
It's musical chairs. That's what it is. Ralph did the story yesterday that Crash star Jennifer Esposito has split from Wedding Crasher actor Bradley Cooper after 4 months of being married. Apparently, they got married in late December, and they're already divorced.
Did you read at the bottom of this story?
Yes, Cooper's representative said, quote, the divorce was mutual, and they've been separated for quite a while.
So, what, they lived together for a month as man and wife?
Maybe. Separated for quite a while. By the way, she is seeking spousal support.
Oh,
I saw that. That cracks me up.
And has requested that the court deny any financial support for Cooper, and she wants him to pay her legal fees.
I can't imagine that's going to happen.
No, that's good.
Well, he's smart to divorce her then, if that's the kind of woman she is. I'm sorry. He is probably, you mentioned Wedding Crashers, but most people probably know his face from Alias.
Right.
He was Will on Alias for all those years. But 4 months, and they'd already been separated for a while. That almost seems like Mike suggested yesterday, that maybe some infidelity may have ended it suddenly. That's not just people growing apart, let's face it.
But it might have ended suddenly, but a while ago, because they said they'd been separated.
Right. Maybe someone thought they were pregnant, and so they got married, and it only
Lisa,
been
Lisa, they
like
don't
a
get married
weeks.
When they're pregnant.
No, these are celebrities.
Yeah, that's true.
What's wrong with you?
Good point.
So every once in a while when this topic comes along, we like to take phone calls from you, the K-Rock audience, and we want to find out who's been married the least amount of time, because It does crack us up that people still stand up there and do those vows that say till death do us part. And then really, that's just not the case at all.
It's so funny when people have been living together for 5 years and then decide to get married and they're split within 6 months.
Boom, gone.
Well, wasn't that what happened with Hank Azaria and Helen Hunt? Remember, they were together for years and years and years, finally got married, then almost instantly split up.
Yep, you're right.
But, this, you know, when you talk about the celebrity marriages, though, I mean, there's so many that come to mind. I mean, Michael Jackson, it seems like, has had a couple that are real short. Nick Cage had a couple that I know were only a few months here and there. Carmen Electra and Dennis Rodman, remember? They were married. Yep. It had to be for, you know, 6 months or something like that. I mean, they just churn them and burn them, don't they?
Yeah, they they get split up really, really quickly. Carmen Electra and Dennis Rodman were 5 months, so they kicked the ass of Jennifer Esposito and Bradley Cooper. So we're going to take
Why, because they were four?
Yeah, they were married much longer.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were going for shortest. All right.
It's like a golden anniversary in Hollywood to go 5 months.
It is.
So we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067, about the shortest marriages ever, because these always crack us up. We have Rob from Boyle Heights already on the phone. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You were married for how long?
I was married maybe a week, and I got married Friday by court, moved in, and just moved out on Monday.
What?
But how was the sex with Britney Spears?
Did you say didn't work out?
Yeah, it just didn't work out.
Seriously,
at least
what could
you gave
have happened
it,
in 2 days?
At least you gave it a good try.
Yeah, I tried it out and it just didn't work out.
So you got married on Friday, you moved out on Monday. What happened in those 2 days?
Everything was cool.
It wasn't.
It doesn't sound like it.
Great.
Sounds like the opposite of cool, actually.
Couldn't have been better. Never had more fun.
Saturday, went to go hang out with my family. Sunday, went to go hang out with her family.
Right.
Monday, just woke up and just looked at each other and said, forget it.
All right. Okay. Were you drunk on Friday?
No, we weren't.
Had you been dating?
Yeah, this is what I want to find out. Is what was going on until Friday? What was the status of the relationship up until that point? How long?
It was good. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just had a lot of differences.
My man Rob from Boyle Heights is leaving out a huge chunk of this story.
Clearly.
You don't get married on Friday and just go Monday. Eh, not so much.
I'm not feeling it.
You should dump Rob because he wasn't a good communicator.
I'm ready to dump Rob.
Rob,
let me ask again. This is the third time now between Lisa and me. How long had you been dating before you got married on the Friday?
Actually, we were with each other for 6 months.
6 months, all right.
6 months, okay. Yeah. And was it just an impulse marriage, or is it something you planned ahead of time?
No, just an impulse marriage. Yeah. It was there, you know. I mean, she kept on asking. We just said, "Let's go do it." Then finally, you know.
All right, if you'll shut up, I'll marry you.
All right. Last question for me then. On Monday, did you guys break up, or did you just decide to not be married but still date?
Well, it was kind of, she didn't want to be married no more.
Yeah, she threw you out.
Yeah, we just called it quits.
Say she threw me out. Say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He had to move twice in 3 days.
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound like it's her fault. I got to be honest.
I agree.
I'm going with her on this one.
Yeah, all right, you did the right thing.
We'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Joe, Deborah, everybody else on hold, hang on, and we'll get to you right after this.
Right now, we're talking about Jennifer Esposito and Bradley Cooper, who are both celebrities who just got out of a grueling 4-month marriage. And I mean, Ralph, you just celebrated your 2-year anniversary, I guess, right? Ralph's not there. Okay, Ralph just celebrated 2 years, and I think at no point, I guarantee you, during that 2 years, did they seriously think about, oh, we got to get out of this, because you just try harder than that. Most people, right?
She may have.
You just try harder than that. So we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Who's been married like 4 months or less? That's what we're looking for. We'll start this time with Deborah from the LBC. Hey, Deb, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, we need the pertinent details. How long were you together before you got married?
Well, I'm one of those cases where you talk about the people are together for a long time and get married and then get divorced.
How long?
So I was together with my ex for a couple of years.
2 years. All right.
Wow. Okay.
And I was ready to leave, but he said, well, if we got married, it'd make a difference. And so I thought, oh, darn it. Now I can't walk away thinking I tried everything I could. So yeah, I got married.
Yeah. Is that a good plan, would you say, Deborah?
Well, at least I was able to go with a clear conscience after the 2 months, thinking I did everything I could. And
2 months.
Didn't work.
I don't think, unless you're holding something back, you did everything you could, because, yeah, getting married is one way to save a failing relationship, but you should always have a baby, too, if you're having a lot of trouble in your marriage.
Yeah, that does
I
help.
I don't know how that didn't happen.
Yeah.
We weren't using any contraceptive for quite a few months there.
Well, you're a bright, bright person, Deborah.
Thank you for the call. What can I say? When you're 17, you're stupid.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for the call.
2 months. That's rough.
Would you say not good?
Not good.
Let's go to Joe in Oak Hills. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
How long were you together with your woman before you got married?
3 years.
3 years.
Wow.
3 years and married 7 days of bliss.
Seven days. Were you drunk when you got married?
No, she was. She ran off with the guy she met on her bachelorette night. She ended up getting pregnant, and he left.
Are you kidding me?
Nope, she got exactly what she got.
And were you married for 7 days because that's at the point at which you found out what she'd done at the bachelorette party, or did you marry her knowing that had happened?
No. What happened was he actually called at midnight one night, and I answered the phone, and he said, oh, I got the wrong number.
I'm sorry, I was looking for your wife who I banged and knocked up.
Exactly. And dude. So I said, okay. And then she said, well, that's my friend. I need to talk. And I said, well, if it's your friend, how come I don't know him, and how come he didn't ask for you?
And you had her trapped right then.
Yeah, and so she went out in the kitchen. I turned the phone upside down and listened, and I heard everything.
Wait a minute. She went out in the kitchen and then talked sex to him?
Oh, yeah. She told him how she was taking the credit card, and she was going to go rent a hotel. And
Oh my God.
My ring.
That's fantastic. They were going to hawk your ring.
That's the best.
I kicked her out, and I called him back. I star 69 him and told him, hey, come pick her up.
She's yours.
All yours.
Oh, my God.
Good
That's
deal,
spectacular.
Joe.
Thank you for the call.
That's awesome.
Wow.
All right. We just have time for one more. Let's take Joe in Garden Grove, because this may be about as short a time as it's possible to stay married, right?
I mean, well, this first guy we talked to was Friday to Monday.
Right.
That's pretty short. Joe?
Hey, good morning.
Hi there.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
What's the deal?
Well, I used to actually work at a wedding facility as security.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened at this one time was, you know, the groom was a little nervous. He was doing some shots with his buddy before the ceremony. And, well, they went on with the ceremony. Then after the ceremony, they were going to take some pictures. And the bride decided she wanted to get freshened up before they took the pictures. So they took a short break. But when it came down to taking the pictures, the groom was missing. Everyone's looking for the groom. I'm running all over looking for the groom. I go to the parking lot, and I see somebody in a car, and I figure, okay, wait, that looks like him. He's probably taking some more shots to relax or something. Well, as I'm walking to the car, a head sort of pops up from his, clap.
No.
well, what happens is he ended up cheating on her. Not even...
Between the wedding ceremony and the pictures,
he didn't even make it to the pictures.
that's a guy with short attention span right there.
Did you tell, or who told?
Well, what happened was the family members started coming outside. One family member came up behind me, saw the whole thing. They ran to the parents. Mom ran. Grabbed the daughter, put her back in the limo. Dad came out, beat the crap out of the dude, basically.
Oh my God.
That was the best day of work you ever had, Joe. You've never been happier to have that job.
Did you ever find out who the girl was he was cheating with? Was she in the wedding party or something?
She was a friend that he apparently worked with or something. But no, she wasn't part of the wedding party. She was just a guest.
So about an hour then.
Okay.
About an hour, yeah.
That is a hell of a marriage right there.
We got a winner.
Thanks for the...
Hey, it's Friday.
Nope.
Wait, I'm Rodney. You're Friday.
Nope.
Hey, it's Rodney Bingenheimer here, winding down another week of great flashback.
That's
Richard's show. Hey, what am I doing?
It doesn't work here.
Not even his anymore.
No. Yeah, neither one of you works here anymore. He quit and you died. All right, it's 6:55 on the Kevin and Bean Show. I saw the ceremony and funeral out on Hollywood Boulevard.
That was his star
they
on the walk.
Buried
of fame.
Him under the sidewalk.
Oh,
hey, listen,
no,
6 Feet Under is Peter Krause, a terrific actor. New film is called Civic Duty. He joins us in the studio after the news. First, though, at 5 till 7, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat for Friday morning. Ralph, what's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz News, I want to give you an opportunity to be on television your own self, if you'd like to be. MTV is looking for people for a brand new documentary style show that they're doing on MTV. And here's the qualifications. You need to be a guy, 21 years or older, living in the greater Los Angeles area,
and a virgin.
Excellent.
Really?
I'll do it.
I love it. I can't wait.
They're looking for virgins to do a new documentary-style show on MTV. If you're so inclined and you have the balls to go down to this audition and say, yes, I'm a guy, I'm over 21, and I'm a virgin, then go down to Sharky's in Huntington Beach. That's 211 Main Street in Huntington Beach. The casting call is this Saturday, tomorrow, May 5th. For more information, you can go to MTV.com, and they'll have all the information there. But I don't know if I want to go on television and tell the world that I'm a virgin over 20.
Virus database has been updated.
I never had sex! Last night, Britney Spears continued her comeback tour where she was at the House of Blues.
Forgive me for being an idiot, but she completely lip syncs?
Yes.
That's what I've heard.
So what kind of a comeback is it to show up and say, hey, I can still lip sync?
That's the show she always did.
But that's...
She's showing she can still do what she always did.
Yes.
Dance and lip sync with a headset mic on.
That's lame.
It would have been nice, since Kevin had tickets to that show, if he had gone to tell us what it was like.
Yeah, what happened, Kevin?
Well, I got tickets for it, and then they announced that it was canceled.
Yeah.
So I gave the tickets back, and then she ended up showing up.
Yeah, who announced it was canceled?
It was
rumored.
Whoever we got the tickets from. I wasn't really in on that deal. But I wanted to go. I just didn't think it was happening, so I gave him back, and then she ended up showing up. But she's lip-syncing. I mean, that's just... You'd think this is her time to show people that she's still here and a viable artist, right? No.
100% of the time, though, you got to understand, she's just doing, resurrecting what she has always done. She's never performed live and really sang.
She doesn't sing with the tracks?
I'm sure there's another track, and maybe every once in a while her mic gets cracked open, but for the most part, her big stage show, she's always lip-syncing.
Well, plus, as much as she dances, it wouldn't probably sound good even if she could sing, which we don't know if she can.
Yeah. She did about 5 songs. The entire set was about 11 minutes. So if I had paid $350 on eBay for a ticket and saw her for 11 minutes, I think I'd be a little steamed.
I do, too.
I'd yank her wig right off.
$350, you ought to get to bang her for 11 minutes. I mean, let's be honest.
For being, that'd be like having sex with her 11 times. Sorry, Dave, King of Mexico.
Uh-oh.
Say goodbye to the Gilmore Girls.
Oh,
Daily Variety's announced that the Gilmore Girls will be leaving the C-Dub, or the Qua, as the insiders
call
it.
They don't call it that.
Sure.
Just
no
the
one
hipsters.
Calls it that.
Lauren Graham and Alexis Bledel, they were trying to work out a new contract for them, but apparently the show just became too expensive to produce and not enough eyes were watching, so they're going to say goodbye. But apparently they will give them a chance to do a wrap-up sort of special episode to say goodbye to the series. So.
That's nice.
Now, since it's May, and this is the time where these decisions are made, and clearly they've already made it on the Gilmore Girls, what about the show after the Gilmore Girls, TV's Veronica Mars? What do we know about that?
No word yet on whether that will continue or not.
Just that she's hot with bad taste in basketball teams. That's all. That's all we know.
How dare you.
Just saying.
Busta Rhymes got busted again yesterday.
Oh!
He was nabbed in New York City. For driving while intoxicated. This is only his 4th arrest in less than a year.
Oh, dude. No.
Yeah. Busta's got to either get himself into rehab or get himself a limo driver because...
He's a delight.
He is a delight.
Why don't celebrities get drivers, Ralph? They have the money.
I have no idea.
They can drink all day long.
If I was rich, the first thing I would do is to get a constant limo.
Huh.
He was driving his GMC Yukon Denali and the windows were tinted too dark, so the cops pulled him over for violating that. And once the window rolled down on the driver's side, apparently the officers were knocked over by the smell of booze that was coming off of him. And they administered a field sobriety test, which he failed. And so he's back in jail. Celebrities love their booze.
A man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
No one more so than David Hasselhoff, apparently.
Oh,
you know what time it is?
Time to hassle the Hoff?
I think so.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
Hoff. Hoff. Hoff.
Yeah, it was all over the entertainment news shows last night. A videotape, allegedly taped by his 16-year-old daughter, talking to her dad about the fact that he's loaded, rolling around on the floor in just his jeans, shirtless, desperately trying to find his mouth with a cheeseburger.
And missing.
Failing.
Yeah, missing a lot.
So sad.
And she's begging him not to drink because if he tests positive for alcohol, he will lose whatever gig he was filming at that time. It's pretty tragic stuff, frankly. You can see the video on the internet. I think the Insider website and Entertainment Tonight both have it posted. But here's a little taste.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
Nope. I'll be fine.
Oh. Through his lawyers today, Hasselhoff tells Extra, quote, I am a recovering alcoholic.
Nope, not recovering so much. As much as alcoholic.
He says the relapse, this he had one relapse, he claims, and that relapsing is part of recovery.
Really? What step is that?
That's the 13th step.
13, okay.
Drink again is number 13.
That's the easiest one to keep, though.
And then start
it
over.
Sure is, but you have to get through all the others to get to the good one.
Right. Look, I love to see celebrities, particularly celebrities like David Hasselhoff, in very bad situations. It makes me laugh. But not when there's teenage kids involved that are having to play parent and try to, you know, for the family to go through this. And by the way, couldn't come at a worse time for him, could it, Ralph, with that very contentious divorce he's got going on with his wife, Pam.
Yeah, Pam's got a brand new lawyer, and she's a pit bull. It's the one from the Burkhead trial in Florida.
Oh.
Larry Burkhead's lawyer is the one she's
That's right, yeah.
I think she may have leaked the story, but it's pretty rough. Can we hear that again, just the top of it? Just
tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise? Yeah.
No.
I'm talking about.
Nope.
Awkward.
God.
So that happened.
Yeah.
Sure did. Guess what?
What?
Bobby Brown's getting married again.
What?
No.
Is
it to that woman he's living with?
Didn't Whitney just kick him out?
In Touch Magazine reports that Whitney's ex-hubby is about to pop the question to Alicia Etheridge, who I thought was a lesbian. I can't even believe they're getting married.
She
got pregnant with that dude from
Melissa.
The 60s.
Melissa.
And had
you're thinking
baby,
of Melissa Etheridge. Not the same.
Like, come through my window.
No. Not the same
she's
person.
Singing with Bobby Brown
Ralph,
now, and then
Ralph.
They're going to get married. And
Ralph. Different different woman, different person at all. That's Melissa Etheridge you're thinking of. This is Alicia.
What?
But does she have money? That's got to be the number one question, because from what we understand, Bobby Brown is broker than broke.
I don't think so. Isn't she like a porn actress or something?
You think he would marry her if she didn't have money, really?
Well, no. I think he needs a couch to sleep on, and she provided it.
He might just need a warm bed.
Yeah. Beggars can't
anyone
be
with
choosy?
A futon right now could get Bobby Brown.
Yeah. He'd marry David Hasselhoff right now for a roof over his head.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to stop. Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Jackie Jackson of the Jacksons.
There's no Jackie Jackson, Ralph.
There's a Jackie Jackson.
No, there isn't.
I looked it up.
You make up a new Jackson every day.
And Jackie Jackson was part of the Jackson 5?
No.
Because
he was
one
of the original Jacksons.
Yes, he was.
Uh-huh. You guys make up new Jacksons all the time.
I didn't think so either, but I looked it up, and here's a Jackie.
Jackie.
You're still not buying Maureen, though, are you, Kevin?
No, there's no.
Because there's a Maureen also.
No Reba, either.
It's Reby.
Whatever. Anna Gosteyer from Saturday Night Live. She's 40 years old today. Mike Dirnt of Green Day is 35 years old today and has one of the most entertaining last names to say.
He does.
Dirnt. 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 It's like John Frusciante. Dirnt. And Lance Bass.
He's
28 years old today. He's celebrating. I'm sure he's going to celebrate, and it's going to be fabulous. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is one of the great bands that's playing Skayrock, Sweeney Roast.
We
take that again.
The hell?
I think I'm drinking something that's way too cold this morning. I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
K-Rock's Weedy Roasty Fiesta 2007. Of course, tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon. We have them. You can win later on. Also, Sugar Shane Mosley will be on. He knows a little something about how to beat Oscar De La Hoya. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about the big fight tomorrow night. Right now, let's welcome to the studio. We're very excited about our next guest, Peter Krause. Ladies and gentlemen, terrific actor. The film is called Civic Duty, in stores everywhere. Peter, nice to meet you, man. Thanks for coming into K-Rock, dude.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me.
When you say in stores everywhere, do you mean theaters?
Yes, of course
okay.
I mean theaters.
Theaters
is
a kind of store.
Excellent.
I guess.
Peter, I have to ask you a question. Do you have a death wish coming out today? Your movie coming out today?
Do I have a death wish coming out
today?
Today,
of all days.
Oh, Spidey.
Yeah. I mean, there is another kind of big movie coming out. It seems like everybody else is running for the hills, and you're just like, put me out there.
I'm not afraid of Tobey Maguire.
Not afraid.
You can take him, right?
I'm not afraid of Tobey Maguire and his 5,000 million screens.
Well, you're in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in Southern California.
Yeah, we're in 5 screens here, you know.
it's counter-programming, though, because let's face it. There are going to be guys like me who are going to show up and not be able to get into Spider-Man, and then I'll be looking and I'll go, hey, it's that dude from that movie. I'll go see that.
It's that dude from that show, works, right? That TV show that we used to like.
Yeah, exactly. You are a producer on this movie, and I know you have been working your butt off to get the word out. It's tough to get the word out on a smaller movie sometimes. It's tough to get people's attention, I guess.
It is, so you have to get out there. You know, I don't have the giant Spidey publicity machine behind me. So I'm going out there myself.
So that's why you're here.
I'm like Willie Loman. On the road.
I like it. I appreciate that.
Willie Loman.
Selling my movie.
Willie Loman.
Dad, you actually saw
you
that
saw
play.
You saw the play on Broadway, Kevin.
No, that's the one I fell asleep at, guys.
Yes. That's the one.
That's the one. Sorry.
So, Peter Krause, for folks who don't know the name, starred in one of my two favorite TV shows of all time, Sports Night. And then, of course, is probably best known as Nate on 6 Feet Under for those five seasons. Tremendous, tremendous show. And you're one of... And you, this is this story, this civic duty. It sounds like this is something that really was kind of right in your wheelhouse because you are a you're a fan of observing the human condition. I understand.
Sure, that's what we actors do. it's a thriller that makes you think is what it is. It's about an average American guy who starts to suspect that his Middle Eastern neighbor might be a terrorist, and we explore that ever moving line in between justifiable suspicion and racial profiling. In between reasonable fear and paranoia, and the media plays a part in the movie as well. He watches way too much cable news and sort of acts as the devil on his shoulder.
I saw this movie yesterday, and he sits on his couch and just soaks in all the talk of terrorism and he's Bean. Yeah.
Do you do that, Bean?
Bean does that all day.
He's a news hound.
He listens to the news when he's laying in bed.
I like staying current. That's what it is. But you're right, though, because there are so many things that you will get. How do I say? There are so many threats that will seem bigger than they are if you just watch too much cable news.
Well, yeah. Here's an example. Today, I just noticed here in your outside the thing that there's an article here in the USA Today that says phones studied as attack detector. That cell phones could become. Devices that could help us. See, what does it say? It says Homeland Security officials are looking into outfitting cell phones with detectors that would alert emergency responders to radiological isotopes, toxic chemicals, and biological agents such as anthrax.
Have you not been able to break away from the character?
I heard this was in the news this morning on my way into work, and I thought, oh, for God's sakes, now we're going to scare people with this?
But suddenly the cell phone that's going to detect all these things is going to be marketed, and if you don't have one...
Right.
You're going to be the person who's paranoid. I've got to get that phone that's going to detect whether
or
not there's
die.
Anthrax somewhere.
Or I can die.
Yeah, you're at risk, right.
And it's that kind of stuff which I think leads us to paranoia. And then as we start to relax about the whole thing, something like Virginia Tech happens.
Yeah.
And you start to think, well, I guess I should be freaked out. You know?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the film yet, Peter. I'm looking forward to it. But let me ask you if you cover this, because a lot has been made about this color-coded terror alert system that we have in this country. Like, we're all supposed to be at a certain level of threat. I guess right now it's probably orange.
It's orange out today.
And we don't really know what that means or what it is that we're supposed to do differently than we're supposed to do when it's chartreuse. I mean, right. Is your character does he follow stuff like that? These warnings from the government.
In the film, there's nothing quite literal about that, but you do see it on the television.
I got to tell you, he plays an accountant, and I thought I was watching a different kind of movie when I heard this.
Want to see my calculator, baby?
You
and you. Yeah, I thought, okay, we're in for a ride here.
Now it's happening.
Those are some of the lighter moments of civic duty.
So he gets laid off.
It's kind of a comedy for a little while.
Yeah, and then the neighbor moves in, and then your wife, right?
Yeah.
She is not really down with the suspecting of the terrorist downstairs.
No, she wants to live in a world where you trust that your neighbor is a decent person, and she brings him sunflowers, and that is a very, psychologically healthy thing to do. I think that's... obviously, where we'd all like to live. We'd all like to be visited by our neighbors with boxes of cookies and brownies.
Yes. And not blown up.
Yeah.
I'd like to show my neighbor my calculator. That's the direction. That's the America I want to live in.
And then she comes back.
That's how accountants talk when they're trying to turn their spouses on.
That's all they have.
Very
right? That's
high.
Their name. So then she comes back, and you guys have this little argument.
His name is Gabe Hassan. That is what we will call him from now on. He moved here to finish his master's degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's probably budgeting his living on student loans and his copy job. Probably can't afford a car or a landline, and maybe his cell phone ran out.
You don't know that.
Neither do you.
I was yelling, hey, hey, woman, you know, I was with you at that point.
Thank you.
Hey, well, how do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know? Because she's the person that wants to believe all things positive.
She doesn't, though. Or maybe she does.
Maybe she does.
That's the big question in the film.
The person who who's the person who wrote this movie, Peter?
A gentleman named Andrew Joyner.
Okay. Did he talk to people or do some research into folks like your character who live in a building and all of a sudden don't know what to believe anymore? And, you know, there were so many people, especially right after 9/11, who jumped to the conclusion that all people who look like that are bad news. Did he have encounters with people like that who felt that way?
I think Andrew is just very aware of what was happening immediately following September 11th, 2001. He wrote this back then in 2001. So this
that makes sense.
This and the script has changed a little bit since then. But it was Richard Schiff who plays the FBI agent, Agent Hillary, who, when he was researching playing an FBI agent, spoke with a member of the FBI who told him that the FBI were inundated immediately following September 11th with phone calls from people across the country suspecting Middle Eastern people in their neighborhood of being terrorists. And it literally happened overnight. And so, bam, you move from, you move right into being freaked out and racial profiling all at once. Right.
You move from complete trust and you don't want to know anything about anything to now you got to be afraid of everything.
Yeah.
Well, if the government says, hey, report anything that looks suspicious, and overnight your definition in your mind of what suspicious changes, I guess that would be very confusing. And your character, it's just a downward spiral. Is it a bummer? Am I going to be bummed out if I go see your movie, Peter?
It's a comedy. It ends very funny.
it starts out funny, and it ends up really funny.
Yeah, it's funny as hell.
It is a thriller that makes you think. It operates as a commercial movie, but we purposely made it to be a very provocative film, and it's open to interpretation. We've noticed that people have very different responses to the film, and certainly the ending. It acts as this Rorschach test, and I think that people should go see it, actually.
Look up Rorschach.
Yeah, look up Rorschach.
Okay. Peter Krause is here. His new movie is Civic Duty. It opens today at the Hollywood Arclight Cinemas, Irvine Edwards Spectrum 21, Santa Monica Man Criterion, Sherman Oaks Pacific Galleria 16, and Pasadena at the Lemley Playhouse 7. And we'll take a quick break and come right back.
In the meantime, Peter Krause is in the studio, the world-famous K-Rock. The film is out today called Civic Duty. He is bitten by a radioactive spider, and then he has the ability to sling a web and climb a building.
No, that's Spider-Man.
Am I thinking of something else?
Yeah.
Exactly. No,
that's right.
Spider-Man is actually called Civic Duty this year.
Is that right?
It's fascinating.
I didn't realize that.
Spider-Man 3, Civic Duty.
If you want to see Spider-Man, go to the theater ask for a ticket to Civic Duty. It's going to take a while, but Spidey will appear eventually in the film. About 90 minutes into the film, he'll show up.
Peter, we were talking to you about a couple things off the air, one of which, of course, 6 Feet Under, one of the great television shows of all time. What a fun show that must have been to work on for 5 years.
It was a great time. Alan Ball really, came up with the winner there. And the cast was great. I really miss working with them, and I'd certainly miss being in the Fisher family.
Yeah.
Funeral home.
Do you watch that Dexter with Michael?
I do. It's dark. That's a dark show.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
He's a scary little fella.
It's hard to be darker than 6 Feet Under, but it is.
He is dark, but he's very funny as well in life.
Once you've enjoyed the luxury of being on a channel like HBO, is it tough? Like, I know you got a new pilot that's in the works right now. Is it tough to think about broadcast TV? Does it seem super limiting to you as an actor?
Well, this particular pilot, Dirty Sexy Money for ABC, was written by Craig Wright, who is a writer on 6 Feet Under. And he wrote some of my favorite episodes. He wrote the episode where Nate buries Lisa. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a soap opera type show about a very wealthy family in the East Coast in the tradition of Dallas or Knott's Landing, but with the twist that a former writer from 6 Feet Under would provide.
Mm. Fantastic. So they're all dead.
And Donald Sutherland is in it, and Jill Clayburgh and William Baldwin.
Oh, he's so good.
He's very funny. Yeah.
Can you talk about The Lost Room? I watched that
last
summer, and I was enthralled with it. It was so good.
Oh, thank you.
It was a miniseries on the Sci-Fi Channel, and Bean and I were just talking because he's going to get it on Netflix now.
Yeah, it's just out on DVD for folks who did not get the chance to see it first time around.
Yeah,
how'd you get involved with it? It's amazing.
I was sent the script. My agents counseled me not to do it because it was on the Sci-Fi Channel, and I read it. And I said, guys, this is really good material. This is fun. Plus, I got to play a regular hero, a guy who knows right from wrong, very uncomplicated, my daughter gets lost in another dimension, and I'm going to get her back.
I was trying to explain to Bean the premise, and I got all confused. I have to watch it again.
Well, there's a magic key.
Yes, there
sure,
is.
Sure, there always is.
And there's a room with a bunch of magic possessions.
It can open any door, and when you open that door, you're in a motel room in another dimension, and you go in the motel
that
room.
That old workhorse.
Come on.
And then again?
And then when you walk out, you wish yourself anywhere you want to go where there's a door.
Yeah. It's the coolest.
So it's like real life.
Oh, it is like real life. Yes. There's a nail file that puts people to sleep. A bus ticket, right. if you hit somebody with it, sends them to Gallup, New Mexico.
That's right.
Are you making this up?
I'm not making this up. No, it was a really clever, very clever script. There's a ballpoint pen that microwaves people when you touch them with it.
I really recommend it, you guys. It sounds good. Yeah, it really is.
It's out on DVD now. If you want to get it. What do you love on TV? Because everyone we have in, you know, even though they're in front of the camera, they're also fans of TV and movies behind the camera. I mean, are you a Heroes guy, a Lost guy, a Office guy? What do you love?
Well, I like watching The Office because my pal Rainn Wilson is on that show. He was on 6 Feet Under, played
That's
Arthur,
right.
And we went to NYU so together. Michael Hall actually also went to NYU. And I like watching 30 Rock. I think that's a great show.
That's
funny, too. It's a funny show.
Very funny.
I really enjoy both Alec Baldwin, and I got a little crush on Tina Fey.
Well, who does?
Does Bean?
Come on!
Ding, 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 ding.
Scarface, I love her. Are you kidding me?
Ouch!
And how great is Alec Baldwin on that show? By the way,
he is great. Yeah. On the show. No, I love Alec. Alec's a great guy.
Let me ask you a question.
That's my heart going out to him in that moment right there.
Let me ask you a question to get back to civic duty. The guy who plays Gabe Hassan.
Yes. Khaled Abulnaga.
I can't imagine it would be very easy now in this day and age to play a terrorist or a possible terrorist in a movie or on TV because people don't kind of pay attention. And I imagine they look at him and go, where do I know him from? And... Right. I imagine that would be difficult because he spends the whole time, you think, okay, that guy, all right, that's something up with that guy. All right, there's something down going on.
Plus, doesn't he hear it from his friends and family? Hey, how could you do this? How could you make it worse for us by portraying a guy like this in a film?
Well, he's not necessarily a terrorist.
No, but I'm saying he looks like it. And people
Or maybe he is.
People like myself.
Go see Spider-Man called Civic Duty this weekend.
People like myself who don't pay that close of attention to stuff. I know I saw him someplace. I can't place where it was.
Was it
that
in
kind
the
of
news
stuff.
Where he was accused or something
I mean,
like that?
It seems like it would be kind of difficult. It seems like it would be difficult to look Middle Eastern anyway in America.
Right. Did he talk about any of those issues?
You know, he was uncomfortable at first. You know, he's from Cairo. He's Egyptian, and he's a sort of a matinee idol over there. And I think it was a really brave thing for him to do, and he was very interested in addressing the issues concerning racial profiling, obviously, in the movie. And it was not easy for him to get mistreated by me, certainly. Not me, Peter, but as Terry Allen,
right,
my character.
Your character, yeah.
I don't think that was very much fun for him to perform those scenes with me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, what about the actors who recreate the crimes on America's Most Wanted? Why aren't they ever arrested as being the guy who looks just like the guy they're playing on the show? That's
what
I want to know.
I never get those scripts.
You know,
I got to call my agent.
Well, look, if you're looking for something a little bit different this weekend, a thoughtful movie that is also funny and speaks to the times in which we all live and addresses the issues which we all think about, this sounds like a pretty good choice. It's called Civic Duty. It opens up today, and I'm going to give you the theaters again here in Southern California where you're lucky enough to be able to go see it. It's probably not playing everywhere. Hollywood Arclight Cinema, which is the best theater there is. Irvine Edwards Spectrum 21, Santa Monica Man Criterion, Sherman Oaks Pacific Galleria 16, and in Pasadena at the Lemley Playhouse 7. And again, the film is called Civic Duty. Spider-Man will show up, Peter assures us.
Absolutely.
It may take a couple of hours, but when you get in there, just wait for it.
If he doesn't show, then go get food and just skip theaters.
You might have to go to the theater next door afterwards.
Right. Thanks for coming. Peter, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Muse on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:43.
I don't know whether I got it from you or you got it from me today.
Yeah.
We were out late drinking in Philadelphia last night. That's why we're all feeling a little bit rocky. Plain White Tees, Social D, Tiger Army, 30 Seconds to Mars, Silver Sun Pickups, Tim Armstrong, Peter Bjorn, and John Whistle the Hits. Also Rise Against, The Bravery, Queens of the Stone Age, Interpol, Bad Religion, Korn, The Killers, and Linkin Park all on one big day. It's K-Rock's Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2007. Saturday, May 19th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon or win them right now on the World Famous K-Rock.
El Orquestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba
Dave and Mike, how are you guys?
No, this is not Dave and Mike.
No, it's not. I'm wrong about that.
Hell, Bean. Who is this, guys?
You tell me.
Don Francesco and Raimondo Mandingo.
Oh, buenos dias. Buenos dias. Ah, he's so sexy.
So, guys, El Orquestra de la Raza, how does it work? We've got listeners on hold that are ready to play the game. They're trying to win tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Racy Fiesta 2007. What do they need to know?
You're listening for a Linkin Park song. We are going to sing it with our mouth. It is sexy. Too sexy.
Okay, so they're all Linkin Park songs. Yes. All you have to do is tell us the name of the song that they're singing with their mouth.
Yes.
Now, you're not going to be doing the lyrics, right? You're going to be doing the musical parts.
No, la musica.
All right. We have Monica and Downey. Good morning.
With our mouth.
Monica, I apologize that you're going to have to hear this, but it may be worthwhile if you can win the tickets. Listen up. What song are the maestros performing here from Linkin Park?
Monica, I don't know how you would know that, but who do you think it is? What song?
Awful, but I'm
going to
go with One Step Closer.
Look at that. Nicely done.
Jeez, my mouth's so sexy.
Yes. Nicely done. Now, you don't automatically win. You go into the drawing, but if no one else wins, then you do, of course. All right. Let's go to, and we don't have high hopes for anyone else. Omar in Anaheim. Good morning. Hello, Omar.
Buenos dias, Omar.
Órale. Not there. Last chance. Okay. Let's move along to Ivan in Hawthorne. Good morning, Ivan.
Hey, what's up?
Orquestra de la Raza. Please name this Linkin Park song.
Boom, 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 bing, bing, boom, bing, 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 bing,
bing. All right.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen. Ivan, what do you think?
What do you think? Name of the song.
Is it In the End?
Sorry, it's... That was numb, and that was pretty good, guys, I gotta tell you.
Yeah. I thought so, too, yeah.
Muchos gracias.
Especially Don Francesco. You did a great job of doing the turntables. All right, Nick in Rosemead. Good morning.
Morning. Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Nick.
Orquestra de la Raza. Tell us what Linkin Park song this is.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Boom, bing, boom, bing, 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 boom, bing, boom, bing, boom, bing, bing, bing. Whack, 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 whack.
It's like we sent two guys into the other studio just to be as annoying as they possibly could. And I hope somebody's alarm went off right then.
Mission accomplished, if that was the goal. Nick, what Linkin Park song were the guys doing?
I don't know. In the End?
Beastie Boys?
That's good.
No.
Well, I'm done. That's a new one. I don't know that it sounded a lot like that, but that was their new song.
Exactly like that.
All right. Let's go to Myra in Santa Ana. Good morning, Myra.
Good morning.
Hello.
Here are the guys with a Linkin Park song. Tell us what song it is.
Okay.
Boom, bing, 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 bing.
All right. Myra, what's that song?
Is it In the End?
Well, eventually somebody had to be right, I guess.
Third in a row, they guess In the End. They got it right.
All right, Myra, you are in the drawing. Hang on. We're playing El Orquestra de la Raza with the guys for tickets to see Linkin Park and the Weenie Rose. Yes, Gene Simmons.
Lisa, am I speaking of In the End?
Okay, we don't have time right now.
No.
We don't have time right now. Sorry.
All right, let's go to Caitlin in Riverside. Good morning, Caitlin. Hello, Caitlin.
Hello.
Hi there. All right. Here are the guys with your Linkin Park song.
Wing ding 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 bow.
I'm pretty sure that's all I can take.
That's enough. Caitlin, please.
Name that song.
It's Fate.
Yeah!
Fate,
yes!
Woo!
How about that? Very impressive.
Hey, I've got a request of the maestros, please. Can we never play this game again?
Oh, no. Neither.
By the
Wrong.
Way, I could hear Bean bailing on this at the very beginning with the theme. I knew he was out. All right, we have Monica, we have Myra, we have Caitlin. Lisa,
okay.
You want to do the drawing for us, please?
Yes. And the winner is... I got it. Myra in Santa Ana.
Myra.
We got a winner! Nelly.
Congratulations, Myra.
You
don't have to worry about the on sale tomorrow at noon. You're going to the K-Rock Weenie Roast. Maestros, a job poorly done.
Hey, to me.
Thank you.
El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Just like us, the L.A. City Attorney's Office wants Paris Hilton to go to jail. They have recommended 45 days in jail as punishment for her alleged probation violation. See, the attorney says that Paris was well aware that she was not allowed to drive her car after her initial DUI bust on January the 15th. Therefore, her second violation on February the 27th was a flagrant violation of the law. In other words, she thinks her poop don't stink, so we're going to put her in jail.
Why did the convict have to be a black guy? It is such a stereotype.
Paris Hilton's not black.
White girl.
If she gets the fullest extent of this punishment, she will go to jail for 45 days. She will have to enroll in an alcohol education program. She will lose her car for 30 days. She will lose her license for another 4 months. And she's going to have to wear one of those SCRAMs, the Secure Continuous Remote Alcohol Monitoring Device that senses alcohol from your skin.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah, it's hard to dress up that when it's around your ankle and you're showing up on the red carpet. Unless you bedazzle it or something. Speaking of alcohol and celebrities... Everyone is talking about David Hasselhoff's video that appeared last night on Entertainment Tonight and The Insider. And now it's everywhere. It's all over the internet. And I've got it, by the way. People who are emailing me links to David Hasselhoff's drunk video. I got it. Seen it. Got it here.
So
I'm
email
good.
It to Ralph at
KRock.com. Got it here. It's all good.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I'll play a little clip first because it's time to hassle the Hoff.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
Huff.
Here's a video shot by David's 16-year-old daughter as she desperately pleads for daddy to, well, first of all, put a shirt on. I don't think that's in the video, but she's got to be asking him to do that. He's rolling around in jeans on the floor trying to eat a cheeseburger, and he is blasted. Here's the 1969 Dodge Charger. It's ready to tear up the road and price to move. Highest bid on eBay right now, $2.7
million. Dude, $2.7 million for a car?
It's the General Lee.
But you could buy a new car for that, Ralph.
It's the General Lee.
Daisy Duke should come in it for that mount.
You guys don't get it.
Nope, we don't. We have that, though.
Hey!
Lightning so wants that car. You know he does.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And last night, Britney Spears took the stage, as promised, at the House of Blues. Where she performed a tight little 11-minute set.
Well,
she cut out the fat, didn't she?
She sure did.
Performed, you mean what?
Well, she dances and lip-syncs.
Yeah.
Just as she's always done. You continue to be impressed, upset by this, Kevin, but that's all she's ever done in any of her performances.
But I thought she sang in some of them, and I also took for granted if she was going to go out and show people she still had it, that she would try to show it.
But she can't show them what she never had.
Bingo.
All right.
She's showing him what she has, which is now tight abs again. And
right,
her
right.
Ass
that's
good.
It. You're right.
But she's still lip syncing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's about her body.
I'm out. Her body's good.
Fine. That's all you care about is her body.
Did you guys see those pictures of her online in a friend's yard or something, putting the flowers
yes.
over her boobs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Gardening topless? Yeah.
She's out of her mind.
She is.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jackie Jackson of the Jacksons is 56 years old today.
Yeah.
comedian Anna Gasteyer. She is from Saturday Night Live. She's 40 years old. Mike Dirnt of Green Day is 35 years old today. And Lance Bass.
Hello.
Of NSYNC. He's 24 years old today.
Doesn't get much gayer than this.
28. I didn't want to make him younger than he was.
No.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, we'll dip into the K-Rock email bag. We're getting a lot of great emails on a lot of topics. I want to start with, Kevin, you busted the story wide open about how the man is keeping us down, about how we can't say anything now without somebody complaining, and usually that somebody comes from our own management lately because somebody might be offended. I got two quick emails on that subject. First, though, from frequent K-Rock contributor Vic. Dear Kevin and Bean, I am offended. I find that preemptively censoring something because it might be offensive questions my intelligence and calls me stupid. Please have the people responsible fired, or I'll be forced to notify Reverend Al to get up in that ass. Just so you know, I am also offended by inoffensive comedy, the lack of Lisa moaning on your show lately, and the Los Angeles Kings. You have been warned. So that's a good warning. And here's another one. This is from K-Rock listener Haivu, I think is how you pronounce his name. Dear Kevin and Bean, I totally agree with you how we're all too afraid of offending people these days. I think people just need to relax and not be so freaking uptight about everything. As an example, I'm on a bowling team, and since the Virginia Tech incident, I'm starting to say things like, I'm going to go VT on those pins, or wow, that was a VT shot. I figured it's 2007, so by saying I'm going postal, that's not correct anymore. We should all start saying I'm going VT, but some people in my league are offended by it. You know what? Maybe too soon for that, Huvet, I'm sorry to say. I got to maybe agree with your bowling team on that one, my friend.
I've told you this many times. I even told it to you this morning, but I just want to read it to you to prove it to you because it really is shocking to me. Jackie, K-Rock listener Jackie, what's the song where it goes, I gave you $100 bills, I gave you diamonds, I gave you everything, everything, everything. At least other people at least say anything, anything, anything. But yeah, I get those on a regular basis.
She's joking, though, because that's... Really?
Okay. Nope.
People don't know how to look up lyrics on Google to find songs.
Yeah, I'll tell you again.
Give you the whole freaking song and then ask you what it is.
She had the wrong lyrics.
She did.
There, but if you know for a fact a certain line is right, put them in quotations, put it in Google, put lyrics, and most of the time you'll find it right away.
Absolutely.
Very quickly. Dear Kevin, I just want to thank you for talking about hockey. I never thought about watching it before. But I heard you guys talk about, and I like the other shows that you've suggested. I figured I'd give it a try. Now I'm hooked.
How about that?
And a new big Duck fan. Thanks, Matt.
All the time, him.
And on the same topic, I don't know, Vic Rattler wrote in, Thrill of Victory, since you love seeing Olympic athletes fail after their efforts. I hope you saw the Ducks game the other night. It was the goalie's fault. Roberto Luongo, who's the only real reason that Vancouver was still playing, screwed up bad. Rob Niedermeyer nails a guy. Luongo puts his hand up like, hey, ref, penalty. At the same moment, Scott Niedermeyer shoots it right into the net. The goalie wasn't even looking. The look on his face when he realized what he did, picture-perfect agony of defeat.
By the way, the Ducks, if you did not hear, another big overtime win to close out the Vancouver Canucks. So now they move on to round three, I guess we're into now. But they played more games with overtimes in the playoffs so far than they have without overtimes. They have just got to be exhausted and about ready for summer vacation. So congratulations to Anaheim.
At least Vancouver lost them all. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a couple of emails on the topic we were talking about yesterday. And it wasn't just us making this up out of whole cloth. There was an actual study that was done, a scientific study from Boston University, that showed that lesbians are 2.5 times more likely to be overweight or obese than heterosexual girls. And we were discussing that with our listeners, trying to figure out why that may be. Here's a couple of the email responses on that. Dear Bean, for instance, I think you're totally right, says Brandon. Not all of them do this, but I know that many chicks from high school that were fat and straight, they could never get a boyfriend or a date, and a couple years later, what do you know? They're lesbos. Keep up the good work, says Brandon. Y'all are so wrong, writes Michelle. I'm a lesbian, and I'm not fat. A lot of the overweight lesbians are that way due to really poor self-esteem issues. Some of them also rebel against the straight girl skinny standard. Bean, I'm sure you were just trying to be inflammatory, but gay fat girls are not gay because they can't get a man. They're just gay, and they're just fat. Ugh, Michelle. And finally, and I think Reese really puts it in perspective. Hey, guys, I think they're all fat because they play softball, Reese. So they're... That's another theory we hadn't really thought about.
That's a good one, too, I think.
You know, I'm kind of bummed out. A guy like Ralph on a day like today, you know, he's got to come in and talk about the movies. There's just nothing out there that anyone's ever heard of this weekend. I mean, it's just a zero at the box office. But
you didn't.
Do something else. Go see a play.
I just wonder if it's even worth doing the movie beat since there's nothing anybody's interested in that they want to go see. But if you want to try to, you know, cobble something together, Ralph, we'll do it if you're up for it.
No, I'm good. I can take off. No, I can't take off.
Comments. Movie.
No, I was leaving.
Yeah.
No.
Not so much.
Nope. Back down.
Coming out this weekend, if you're a Keri Russell fan, you might want to check out a movie in limited release this weekend called Waitress, in which Keri Russell plays, wait for it, a waitress.
Oh, sure.
Not just any waitress, though. She's also a pie genius.
I'm sorry.
She's a pie genius.
Oh, okay.
She has a gift for making incredible pies.
You know, Lisa May, I consider myself an expert on pie myself.
Thank you, Gene Simmons.
Sure, now he comes up with it. And she hopes that her new pie recipe just might win her $25,000 in a pie contest and change her life. Because she's got kind of a jerk husband.
Ralph,
and,
did you say she's
life.
A pie genius?
What'd I say?
She's a pie genius.
Pie genius.
Okay.
Pie genius, by the way, opening up the side stage at the universe. Lucky You also opens today.
Oh.
This is a romantic comedy starring Eric Bana and Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bana plays Huck Cheever.
I'm sorry.
His character's name is Huck Cheever.
And he's
only in movies is someone named Huck Cheever. And he is a professional gambler, high-stakes poker player. He is attempting to win the World Series of Poker, and he plays all out when he plays poker. But in his personal life, he's very defensive and sort of in a shell.
Right.
I wonder if anyone can break him out of that shell and teach him how to love.
Hmm.
I wonder. Well, he meets Drew Barrymore, and as you can imagine, they all learn an important lesson by the end of the movie. Here's a little scene from Lucky You.
Did you say you just gamble all the time?
This is what I do.
What?
It's a trick. It's not let the other players know when you've got something good.
Okay.
Hands the expression. Poker face.
Yeah.
Why are you talking like this?
I don't know, but it makes everything better.
What's the secret?
Does it mean anything if a movie is filmed and then put on a shelf and they wait a couple of years to release it to the public? Does that mean,
yes.
And then they put it up against Spider-Man. Does that mean anything?
Yes. Yes, it means it's an excellent, excellent film. Here's the thing you don't understand about show business because you're not in it like I am.
Right.
But the best movies, when they make the really good ones, then they just let them age like a fine wine in a movie cellar someplace. And then when it's ripe, when it's ready to be, you know, when it's ready to breathe, they release
ripe.
It to the public.
Yep.
So.
It's definitely ripe. Dewan, are you looking forward to seeing your girl, Drew Barrymore?
I hate Hollywood.
I thought you...
Amazing if I could.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. Mm. Also in limited release today is Civic Duty. We're just talking to Peter Krause, the star of this film. It's kind of along the lines and theme, like Suburbia is the popular movie that's been out for the past couple of weeks, where Terry Allen...
Suburbia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Disturbia, yeah. Where Terry Allen, which is Peter Krause's character, starts to lose everything in his life. He loses his wife, his home, his job. And so he starts to externalize by obsessing about his next-door neighbor, who is a Muslim student, and he thinks is a terrorist. So he starts to invade his home, looks through his trash, starts to really harass this guy until the FBI has to step in. And Richard Schiff plays the FBI agent in this film. Here's a little scene from Civic Duty where the FBI agent is pretty much dressing down Peter Krause's character, Terry, for harassing, basically, his neighbor.
No, I just lost my job. My wife walked out of me. We're about to lose the house we wanted.
I'm sorry for your troubles, Mr. Allen. I really am. But you need to let the FBI handle this investigation. If you enter his house again, I'm going to have no choice but to put you under arrest. Look at me when I'm talking to you, Mr. Allen. Need to know that you understand what I'm saying here.
That's so going to be Kevin one of these days. You just know it.
How dare you?
Well, in Kevin's defense, though, he can tell if a guy is guilty just by looking at him. He does have that ability. It would be un-American to not use that to our advantage.
Thank you.
That's true. Kevin, you saw this movie, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I like it. It's one of those things where every single thing that a guy does, if you look at it a certain way, it looks guilty.
Right.
What time is he taking out his trash? Oh, 3 a.m., I see. And it's just crazy how just thing after thing builds up. It's fantastic.
That's how Bean's neighbors feel.
Oh, of course.
And they watch him live that life on the clown house farm he's got there.
Well, the only question I ever get is, why do so many people go into your house, but no one ever leaves? That's the thing. That's the mystery they can't quite crack.
It's like a human roach motel.
Well, I make a lot
check
of soup.
Check in, but you can't check out. And lastly, a little film called Spider-Man 3 opens today. How excited am I? I love me some comic book movies, and the Spider-Man films really are the best of the bunch. In this film, Peter Parker, of course played by Tobey Maguire, not only has to manage his relationship with his girlfriend, the beautiful Kirsten Dunst, Mary Jane in this film, but also he has to deal with three villains at the same time, which has got to be rough. He's got the Sandman, played by Thomas Hayden Church. He's got Venom, played by Topher Grace. And the return of the Green Goblin in the guise of the son of the original Green Goblin, Norman Osborn, who died in the first film. His son, Peter's best friend, Harry Osborn, comes back as the Green Goblin, and Peter slash Spider-Man has to deal with that as well. Here's a scene where Harry Osborn as the Green Goblin is going after our favorite webhead.
Harry!
You knew this was coming, Pete!
Listen to me! I didn't kill your father! He was trying to kill me! He killed himself!
Shut up!
Dude, he's got stun pumpkins.
He's not very good at talking his way out of trouble, is he?
Oh, Spider-Man. I love the stun pumpkins.
Hey, Ralph, is your pal Stan Lee in the movie this time around?
I believe he has a cameo, yes. I think that's part of the deal. Stan's got to be in every one of these movies based on his comic book characters.
Yeah.
There seems to be some differing opinions amongst the critics regarding this film, but I'm saying, how much fun is this movie going to be? It may not be the greatest script in the world. It may not be even up to the level of the first two films, but I've seen the special effects and some of the action sequences, and it just looks like a great time. So I'm really looking forward to checking it out this weekend if I can find a theater that has an empty seat.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Cut. That's a wrap.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
I can't imagine since the Super Bowl. There's been a one-day event that we've looked forward to as much as tomorrow night in Las Vegas. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Absolutely, yeah. This is going to be great.
Oscar De La Hoya versus Floyd Mayweather. You've been hearing a lot about the fight. We had HBO's Jim Lampley on yesterday. We couldn't be more excited to welcome to the program right now a man who has beaten Oscar De La Hoya in the ring and has been doing everything he can to make sure that Oscar wins this fight as he helps him train. Sugar Shane Mosley on the line with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock from Las Vegas. Hey, Shane, welcome, man.
Hey, how you guys doing out there?
Well, we're doing great. It's almost, you know, we keep talking with everybody that we have on about this fight. It's almost gotten to the point where it's impossible to believe the fight can possibly live up to the hype because so much has been said and written about the world awaits this weekend.
Definitely. I mean, this is going to be exciting and a great fight.
Now, you've beat Oscar De La Hoya twice, right?
Yes, I did.
And how did you get involved with being a sparring partner here?
Well, you know, me and Oscar's been friends for a long time, even since our days as a kid, and you know, I spar with him as a youngster as well in California, and it was just they asked me if I would like to if it would be all right if I sparred Oscar, help him out for the fight, and I said it was no problem.
Yeah, most of the times, if I'm not mistaken, the sparring partners are either young, up-and-coming fighters or guys that are a little bit over the hill. They're not, like, people that are really great
right. Most
of the time.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, but, you know, like, for a fight like this, being that I fight basically like Mayweather almost, I'm very fast. The only difference is that I'm a lot stronger. You know, I was probably the best man for the job, and sparring with the guy him sparring with me is kind of good because it keeps him sharp, it keeps him thinking. So when he does get to the fight, he'll be very sharp.
Mm-hmm. How'd you guys make the decision to train in Puerto Rico?
Well, that was his decision. He wanted to train in Puerto Rico. Obviously, his wife is living out there in Puerto Rico, and she's, so he wanted to be close to his wife and train out there.
Bean mentioned that it's not possible to live up to this kind of hype. But do you think it'll be a great fight, a good fight?
I think so. I think it's going to be a great fight. I think that with Oscar has great power and hand speed, and Mayweather having great hand speed and movement and being an excellent fighter. I think that both guys are going to really go at it and do a great job.
Shane, sometimes the knock on Oscar is that he gets tired, his conditioning isn't up to par. You were there in the gym, you were in the ring with him. What kind of shape is he in?
Well, Oscar's in tremendous shape. I think he can go 15 rounds if he wants to. He was working very hard. He really wants to put some heat on Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
Mayweather took a lot of mess stuff, and he really wants to go out there and I believe Mac Mayweather out.
Is this the kind of a situation, it looks to me, and I could be reading it wrong, but it looks to me like if they kind of just dance around and nobody really does anything tremendous, nobody knocks each other down or whatever, that Mayweather will win the fight?
No, that won't even be the case. That's just going out there for blood. He's going out for the kill. Mayweather might jump around a little bit here and there, but even that, I can't see Mayweather jumping around too much because he moved up in weight to 154. So he's putting those, he put some pounds on. I think that they're gonna be right there fighting.
How much of a difference does that make? Because Oscar De La Hoya won 6 division world champions, and Floyd Mayweather won 4, I guess now, and has added weight to fight in this fight to go into a different realm. Does it make it much more difficult to fight?
Well, I think so. I mean, being that Mayweather's not really a 54-pounder or not even really a 147-pounder, I think that he's more like a 140-pounder fighting at this weight class at 154. And Oscar, being a 154-pounder, naturally, has the advantage.
This is Shane Mosley on the phone with us right now. Of course, we're talking about the Oscar De La Hoya Floyd Mayweather fight, which is going to be a pay-per-view event from Las Vegas tomorrow night. Shane, I wanted to ask you, of course, there's been, you know, trash talking as long as there's been boxing, but it really has been ramped up to a new level with this fight because of the things like the HBO show and Oscar putting the videos on YouTube about the fight and everything else. When you're a fighter and you've been through dozens of your own fights, does that make any impact at all, the trash talking that your opponent makes, or does it just wash right off your back like water off a duck?
Well, I mean, I think for the veteran fighters, it just kind of washes off your back. But I think that, you know, like Oscar said, I think it really got under Oscar's skin a little bit. So, you know, maybe it's going to affect him in a good way where he's going to be ready to go out there and fight and ready to try to knock Mayweather out and vice versa.
One of the things that I saw Oscar say, and maybe you guys saw this, is, you know, he was talking about Floyd Mayweather. He's like, yeah, I'm going to beat him, and then I'm going to sign him up for the Hillary Duff fan club. And I'm thinking, like, come on, how old are you guys at this point?
That's not very good trash talking right there.
That's not. You're pretty much on the playground at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's little jabs here and there like that. But, you know, I think they really want to get in there and mix it up.
Shane, one of the interesting storylines of this fight is that Floyd Mayweather, his father trained Oscar De La Hoya for, 6 years or something like that? And they don't seem like they're all that interested in taking his advice on anything. Is that accurate?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, even though I guess Floyd Mayweather Sr. Has been training Oscar for a long time, I think that he still has the respect, I think, of Oscar because Oscar basically put a lot of money in his pocket.
Right. But they don't, it looks like his son could care less. I mean, if it were my father that was training Oscar De La Hoya and I was fighting him, I would think I would look for all the tips I could get. He doesn't seem all that interested at all.
Well, his son seems very stubborn right now. So, I don't know. I guess he believes that Roger knows the way for the fight and not his father. So, I guess he's sticking with Roger.
Uh-huh. Shane, when are we going to get a chance to see you in the ring again?
Hopefully after this fight with Floyd, maybe in November.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Oh, that's good news. What's it like in Las Vegas this weekend? What kind of parties are going on? What kind of events are going to be happening surrounding this fight?
Well, man, it's a big buzz right now. And, you know, I guess after the fight, the fight party is going to be if Floyd wins, everybody will probably go to his fight party, and if Oscar wins, then everybody will be at Oscar De La Hoya's after party.
So they all just want to go to a party. They don't care where it is.
I guess the fight fans really don't care too much. I mean, it's a great fight, it's a great build up, and I'm sure everybody's going to be at a party.
Yeah. You know, we're so happy to have you on, you know, particularly today ahead of this weekend. And we're going to do something for you, Shane. We're going to send you the address of our producer who called and woke you up from a sound sleep a few minutes ago. And we're going to give you full permission to just whoop his ass, to just do whatever you want to do to him because he deserved it. We apologize for him.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Even though we told him to call. All right. Well, Shane, thanks very much for talking to us today. Again, the fight is tomorrow night at 6 o'clock our time at the Garden Arena at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Ralph, you have any more questions?
Well, I just wondered, Shane, would you like to have a shot at Mayweather? I think that would be a great fight.
Yeah, definitely. I think that'll be the fight next in November.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, oh, terrific.
All right. Very cool. Well, Shane, thanks for getting up this morning talking to us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Have fun tomorrow.
Have fun tomorrow. Thanks.
I definitely will. Well,
bye now.
It is Friday morning. Ralph is here with our final showbiz beat of the day. Ralph, what's going on?
Oh, I hate paparazzi.
Uh-oh. Why?
They're making Keira Knightley quit the acting business.
What?
No, don't say that. We're never going to see her again.
What?
Keira Knightley's so fed up with all the paparazzi and the press and being hounded that she says she'd like to quit showbiz altogether.
I can certainly understand how somebody would feel like that when I see what some of those stars go through.
The celebrity thing is completely crazy, she said in an interview. I think I just have to move away or give it up altogether. I couldn't have kids in the situation I'm in now. I think I'm just going to do something else. That's probably what's going to happen. I'm not so hungry for this kind of work anymore. I've made a decision very recently that I want a life instead.
So, like, fast food? Or what?
She can't have a life. We own her.
We do, don't we?
She's clearly in love. That's what's going on.
Clearly in love.
Yeah, that's Trump's all for now.
Okay.
You think it's me?
Yeah,
no,
sure.
I don't.
I need to see her in a bustier and a sword all the time.
Forever.
Speaking of her co-stars in Pirates of the Caribbean, Orlando Bloom has an amazing story about a stalker, he told Gotham Magazine in a recent interview. He went back to his hotel room and found this strange woman just sitting there in the bed waiting for him. She had broken into his room, and she said, "I've been to all your premieres, and you never have said hello to me. I'm your number one fan, Paul."
In his room.
Yeah, how creepy is that?
It's creepy.
He said, "It was funny, but I felt upset. I felt bad for her, so I turned around and went over to her and gave her a big hug. And I said, 'It's cool. I'm sorry you feel let down or disappointed, but the nature of my life is I can't necessarily stop every time. It's not because I don't want to.'"
Now get the hell out.
He's a sensitive guy.
He really
or
is.
Lay the hell down, depending.
Or he's really afraid.
Orlando said, "I gently grabbed her face, then twisted her head and cracked her neck.
No,
I killed that
bitch."
He
didn't say that at all.
He didn't.
No,
that's not true.
That'd be a great end of the story, though. But it
happened that way. Way cooler.
It would be way cooler. But Orlando Bloom's such a girl.
What's wrong with you?
And Lindsay Lohan is talking about the paparazzi as well. She says that I wouldn't ever want them to not take my picture. I'd be worried. Like, I'd be, do people not care for me? The thing about
we
the press.
We don't care for you.
The thing about the press and why they need to leave me the F alone for a little bit is because I don't want to get distracted from my work. I want to get a nomination. I want to win an Oscar. I want to be known for more than being the party girl.
But she spends 98% of her time partying and 2% of her time working, Ralph. How does she expect us to think of her in any other way?
Well, if the press wouldn't take pictures of her partying,
then we wouldn't know.
She wouldn't call them and beg them to, then they wouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's that.
She's not a bad actress, right?
No.
No.
She's not.
But if she wants to win an Oscar, she's going to have to get to the set on time and stop throwing up in her trailer because she's hungover.
Well, there is that.
Right.
Take that step.
Yeah.
What's the word on this Georgia rule that she's in with Jane Fonda? Is that supposed to be any good?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, actually. It's a chick flick, but you got Jane Fonda, and you've got, who's that broad from Desperate Housewives?
Exactly.
William H. Macy's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Felicity Huffman. Yeah. And her, and apparently it's very good, but only Lisa's going to see it. So yeah.
Right. That's true.
Let us know how to see it.
Okay.
Yeah. And speaking of celebrities with alcohol problems, this is tragic. This video they're showing of David Hasselhoff taken by his 16-year-old daughter.
You want the first clip, Ralph, or the second clip? Which one do you want to play?
Both.
Okay. Fantastic.
We're going to hassle the Hoff by showing you just how loaded he is at his house. He is rolling around on the floor, shirtless, trying to eat a cheeseburger, missing his mouth most of the time, and just incoherently drunk, talking to his daughter.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
Hoff.
Dad, you need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight, okay?
What?
You need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight. Okay? Because if you get alcohol tonight, you're fired from your show tomorrow. And the doctor is coming over here in the morning to check your alcohol level. And if you have any alcohol in your system, you're going to be fired from the show tomorrow. You hear me? No alcohol.
Okay.
All right, why doesn't she just crawl out of his ass, man? Let the guy live.
Guy's trying to get his drink on. She's all, "Oh, you're going to lose your job tomorrow. Hey, buzzkill."
By the way, seriously,
he's laying on the floor, unable to hit his mouth with a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Don't you think he'll be drinking it all? I mean, sleeping it off all night anyway? I don't, sometimes you wake up. You can't really get much drunker than that.
At least you know it is. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night when you're really drunk and you just want more booze. You go downstairs and you just start guzzling out of the liquor cabinet.
Don't really know how that is.
He does.
He's been with me last night.
Here's one other clip from that very funny video.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
My heart breaks for his daughter. I just can hear it in her voice. She's so genuinely concerned and just desperate for dad to get well, and it's just not happening.
Well, that's the sad part of this is, you know, if you're the son or daughter of an alcoholic, you become the parent, and it's just, it just turns your whole life upside down. It is very, very sad. I mean, if it were anyone other than David Hasselhoff, I think I'd feel bad right now.
Ben Hasselhoff called her, left a message on her phone, called her an ungrateful little pig.
No.
And he said, I'm going to straighten you out.
No, he said, I'm going to get on a plane. Ralph?
What?
Alec Baldwin.
All these stories just run together for me, man. I just can't do this anymore.
Ralph was out.
Showbiz beat. They're all the same people.
Ralph was out late drinking, and this is hangover talking.
This is what you
Here's Mr. Hasselhoff's apology to the press when the video was released.
I'm embarrassed. What happened yesterday? Okay. I'm embarrassed for the Yankees, the fans, and my family.
No, I don't guess.
Family. So I have to say, I'm sorry.
What they have to do with it, but all right.
He let the Yankees down somehow?
Apparently.
The Yankees are pretty embarrassing, so maybe that's why.
Oh, that's it. I left Big Boy for this. Okay. Oh, no.
Come on.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Lance Bass of NSYNC. He's 28 years old today. Whatever happened to his space program, the Lance Bass space program? Remember he was supposed to go into outer space?
Go with the Russians, wasn't he?
I know what happened to it is that he wanted somebody else to pay for it. He was willing to do it if somebody else coughed up the 20 mil. He didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm willing to do it if somebody else pays 20 million, whatever.
I also heard he asked them to launch a rocket up his ass.
That's not familiar. It's like a Mike only.
Bassist Mike Dirnt of Green Day is 35 years old today. Comedian Anna Gasteyer, formerly of Saturday Night Live, turns 40. And Jackie Jackson of the Jacksons is 56 years old today.
There's no Jackie Jackson.
Oh, you love Jack Jackson.
There's no name. Jackie.
Yes, the original Jackson 5 is Jackie, Marlon, Tito, Michael, and...
Buster.
Not Jermaine?
Buster Jackson.
Yes.
That's Jermaine. Not Jackie. That's
right. Jermaine. And Jack Johnson.
No, he wasn't a part of that at all.
I don't know how he got in there. Stood out like a sore thumb.
I bet.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
So it was a big story yesterday when Time Magazine unveiled their list of the most influential people in the world. I guess they got a list of 100. A lot of big celebrities. A lot of people you, you know, might be surprised to see, like Borat. I don't know. I mean, funny. I don't know how influential he is. Funny. And then some people you may not be surprised to see, like Leonardo DiCaprio, for instance, on the list. But the big glaring omission, the big story, the reason people were talking about it yesterday is when you're talking about influential people, people who really make an impact in the world in which we live, not just in this country, but around the world, don't you have to put President George W. Bush on the list?
Even if you don't like him?
Yeah. I mean, don't you have to say there's a guy who really does make decisions that influence the entire world? And doesn't it just seem like a snub, like big time, if he's not on that list?
Not in the top 100?
It's pretty surprising.
I mean, if you're going to put Justin Timberlake on the list, don't you have to give George Bush a bone? You know what I'm saying? So what's that deal? We wanted to find out. So we have our friend George W. Bush on the line with us right now from the White House. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're good.
Well, we're fine, sir. Thank you for joining us. How you been doing? We haven't talked to you in a while.
Well, frankly, I'm a little depressed.
Yeah?
But I'm not on this list from Time Magazine.
It is the top 100 people who shape the world, and it does seem like you ought to be in the top 100.
That hurts my feelings a little bit.
Even if for bad reasons.
I see some of the other people that are on there.
Well, I do have to... Leonardo DiCaprio's on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actor.
Gay.
No.
I don't think
so. He's not gay at all, Mr. President.
Well, why did he have sex in that cowboy movie?
He wasn't in that movie, first of all, and he banged every single Victoria's Secret supermodel Leonardo DiCaprio has. He's the opposite of gay.
Beards.
All of them.
Oprah Winfrey was on the list.
Gay.
I don't think so. George Clooney?
I wish he was gay.
No.
Justin Timberlake made the list.
Listen, I brought sexy back 6 years ago.
No.
So he's just right on your coattails is what you're saying.
Right.
Kate Blanchett on the list.
Who the hell is that?
No, President Bush.
She's a very popular actress, Academy Award winning actress.
America Ferrera made the list.
She that fat Betty?
Ugly Betty.
Yeah. That's the actress, yeah.
But she's not fat.
So no. So the actress that plays Ugly Betty made the list, not you.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it that Rosie O'Donnell made the list.
Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah. Yeah,
perfect example.
She made the list as well.
I mean, given she is slightly more manly than I am.
Right.
And Borat's also on that list.
Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen, yes. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I've been wrestling with naked fat guys for years. Never got me on the list.
I don't think we knew about that. Are you sure that's something you want to admit to?
Oh, Dick and I wrestle all the time.
Oh, boy. I'd love to see that.
Do you? Would you say you love Dick, Mr. President?
Oh, I can't get enough of Dick.
Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger made the list?
Yeah, can't speak English. He's on the list.
American Idol creator Simon Fuller made the list?
Foreigner and gay.
All right, what about this? You're the man who has won the presidency twice. You've got the job. You're not on the list, yet Barack Obama is on the list. What's up with that?
First of all, I will not cease until we find Barack Obama. I will bring him to justice.
Okay.
I will go through Australia.
I will go through
Newfoundland.
That's Osama bin Laden. He's not in Australia that we know.
Maybe
of.
That's part of the problem. That's where you're looking.
By the way, President Bush is not on the list. Queen Rania Al Abdullah of Jordan on the list.
Wow.
She's freaking hot.
She is hot.
She is a hottie, yeah.
I would never stop banging her if I was the king of Abdullah.
Jordan, right. What about your old foe, Hillary Clinton, presidential hopeful Senator Clinton from New York? What about her being on the list? Any thoughts there?
I don't think too much about that because, frankly, well, as George Bush would say, wait a minute, I'm George Bush.
You are, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Frankly, I don't think she's going to win that election.
You don't?
You no. don't. Okay. That's not a surprise.
All right. YouTube founder Steve Chen and Chad Hurley. On the list?
YouTube.
Yep.
I love YouTube. As you can see, videos of people getting hit in the nuts.
Right.
Kind of makes sense that you would.
I love that. They deserve to be on that list.
Okay. Them you're happy about.
So you're fine with them.
I'm going to go look at some videos of people getting hit in the nuts right now.
By the way,
seriously.
He's late.
Got a great email, by the way, from K-Rock Window Licker Nick, who I think we have on the phone right now. It sounds like Nick may need our help this weekend, guys.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, what's up?
How you been, man?
I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm good, you know.
Nick, we've been friends for a long time. I think you pointed out the other day that you've been now a part of the Kevin and Bean family for over a year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've seen my fair share of emails from you, but I don't think I've ever seen you as fired up as you were in the email that you sent me this morning.
I can't do this virgin thing anymore. I need to get laid. Yeah. You know what else? On a grander scale of things, I need to grow up.
Nope. No, you don't. Nick, how old are you?
I'm 23 years old. Right now, I'm looking at my future, and I just...
I need it.
More. I want to be more than I am. I want to be great. I want to be a winner.
So holding a sign and never getting laid is not your vision of the perfect future?
Yeah, it's not.
Yes, it's not.
I want to be a Laker, not a Clipper. And by Lakers, I mean Shaq and Kobe, not what we have right now.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Right.
Okay. What did something happen this week that lit this fire under your butt, Nick? Because your life has been pretty consistent over the last few years, but all of a sudden, for some reason today, you've decided you need to change it immediately.
It's been not immediately, but gradually over the course of the next few months. This is going to be a big few months for me. I'm just going to change a lot.
But, Nick, in your email that you sent to me, you said, guys, I can't take this anymore. I have to get laid this month in big capital letters. I feel like I need to end this virgin BS once and for all, and I need to end it now. It's like you're carrying this, you got this monkey on your back that you can't wait to get rid of.
Yeah, Peyton Manning had a monkey on his back, and now it's off, and look how much happier he is.
See, Peyton Manning's a lot happier.
True, yeah. He did win the Super Bowl. Yeah, you're right about that. So what's your plan, Nick? I mean, it's one thing to want to do something different, but what are you actually going to do? Like, what's your plan this weekend to try to make these things happen?
Probably when I start, I'm going to go to bars and clubs. I'm just going to meet women. I'm going to go out and meet women.
Okay.
A lot of women.
You're going to go meet women. Okay.
You're going to play the numbers game. Just meet as many as you can. One's bound to fall.
Yes.
Okay.
All in the numbers.
Okay. But after you meet them, Nick, what are you going to do then?
Probably going to get them drunk.
That's
great. Right. Well, pick up some roofies on your way.
That's a great plan.
Yeah, Jesus. That far, you know. Just,
oh, you'll get him drunk, but you won't drug him. All yeah. right. Yeah. You got your standards.
Nick, I guess what we're afraid of is that date rape is not a policy. Okay, you understand that?
No, I'm going to be a gentleman. I'm
right? Okay. All right.
All right, listen to more of Nick's email. And again, just on fire today. This whole window licker persona, it's a part of me. It's not an act, and I'm okay with that. But not getting laid, it's not so funny anymore, you know? I don't want to turn into the Armenian comedian of sex. I want, and here's what I love about Nick. He's not just talking about this weekend. He's got a life plan now. Listen to this. I want Weenie Roast tickets tomorrow, meaning what? You're going to try to buy them when they go on sale at noon? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sex within the month, meaning May. This is the month you're going to lose your virginity, right, Nick?
I also want to finish my screenplay within the month, too. That's another plan.
Dude.
Wow, that's a full month.
Dude. Yeah, it sure is.
You don't understand what kind of numbers it's going to take.
Okay, he goes on. He expects and plans for a hot wife and a career in the movies in a few years because, by God, I want to win. I want to be Nick, the window-licking winner, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Good job, Wolf.
What do you when you say a career in the movies? That's as a screenwriter. Is that your goal, Nick?
Yes. I want to write stories and I want to bring entertainment to people. I want to be great. I have this fear. This surge of like the future is happening now. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that song from like the Scorpions, like the Winds of Change. You know.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Of course we
do. Now. Ralph, why don't you, how about some fatherly words of advice for Nick? There was a time where you were a young man, maybe not 22, but you hadn't had a woman yet. How did you go about it? What kind of advice can you give for him as he goes out this weekend on his new adventure?
Well, geez, when I lost my virginity, I guess it was nap time. I was in kindergarten. And we just had nutrition, and everyone was kind of laying down in the cloakroom there, and I just, you know, rolled over to Katie. And
I don't think this helped. Because Nick's already 23.
You know what I'm saying, though, Ralph. I mean, yeah. he needs some confidence. I guess is what he needs.
He needs a hooker. Is what he needs. He needs a hooker.
Let's be honest. I'm gonna pitch
Nick.
In.
Just buy it.
No, I'm gonna go get it. I'm gonna go.
No, you're not. Trust me. You're not gonna get it.
Okay.
You're not gonna get it
today.
Okay, but
no.
Nick,
listen. You have no shot. Pay for it.
Okay.
Get it out of the way.
You'll
be a lot better off. You'll be a lot better off of getting more sex once you get that first one out of the way because the pressure, you're just buckling under it. You can't handle it.
That's what I was going to say is you pay for it first, Nick, and then you keep going after it, but now you have a little bit more confidence and it might actually come your way.
That makes sense to me, Nick.
I'll pitch in. Bean?
I will too.
Ralph?
Is it the price? Is that the problem?
Are you actually serious? You guys would actually pay for it?
Well, no, it's illegal. Payment. First of all, it's illegal, so no.
That's right.
So we wouldn't recommend it at all, and we couldn't be any part of that officially on the air. But off the air, yeah, we can talk.
Well played, Bean.
I just
we've totally thrown them off the scent.
How's anyone going to know what we're doing?
They'll never know.
So
just about sex. It's about everything. Now.
Nope. But Nick, you have.
Oh, it can't be about everything. Pick one thing at a time.
You have to start someplace.
Everything. I'm just like, yeah, let's go change the world, you know?
Yeah.
Nick sounds like he's going to explode today.
No,
are you bleeding
pot.
The lines at all, Nick? I mean, are you letting some of that build up out? I mean, come on.
No. I just feel like, you know, it's a new era that's coming for me. It's
right,
just,
but we're just afraid your eyes are a little too big. I mean, like, you want to be writing a screenplay while getting laid and then get married and be a movie producer within a month. It's not really...
I'm not going to do all that in a month, all right? It's over the course... My life is going to look very, very different by the end of summer.
Okay, that's fine.
But we're trying to help you do one of those things within a month.
Well, I can spend some time writing, then go out and get sex, hopefully.
Okay. Nick, that's the worst plan ever.
That's priorities. There's some good priorities for a 22-year-old virgin right there. I'm going to do some writing, and then maybe I'll think about going out and getting a woman.
Or maybe I'll just smoke a bowl and watch Spider-Man 3.
Which, by the way...
I'm going to do all of it. All right? I'm just like... It's just a new era.
Nick, in your email, you said that you were going to get high and go to Spider-Man. Now... I got news for you.
That is not world-changing behavior, my friend.
Nor is it getting laid behavior.
Spider-Man 3, I've been waiting for months to see it. You know?
Right. We're not saying don't see it. We're saying that might not be a good start to the new you. That's all.
No, come on. want Spider-Man or after, the new era starts after that. Okay?
After Spider-Man.
Oh, I take it back. No hooker for you.
Yeah, you don't deserve it.
Well, it's fine because you know what? I am growing up. I'm truly growing up. I'm becoming a man.
Okay, listen, Nick. Don't.
I'm becoming a man.
Please don't. Hey, when does your voice change, by the way? Because that's going to be very exciting for you. Listen, Nick. Please don't misunderstand. As we've said to you many times before, you're part of the family. We love you. We care about you.
I love being part of the family. I love.
Right, and we're not against you. We're trying to offer some constructive advice. But I have a feeling like everything we say just goes right over your head. Like you're not even listening to us when we try to give you this advice.
What are you trying to tell me?
Oh, for God's sakes.
All right.
Nick, listen, we're going to check in with you again on Monday.
Okay.
And we want to find out how you changed your life over the weekend. You have to start with little tiny baby steps.
Yeah. Just, you don't want to, like, I don't want to take it all on right now. Just little things.
All right, but
you
have to take something on this weekend. Besides pot.
And by the way, I like the idea of trying to meet more women. I think Lisa's right. You play the numbers game and you'll have a better shot rather than sitting at home smoking out and watching TV. You're not going
to
meet anybody that way.
There's something I need to confess.
Uh-oh.
Okay, you know, talking about that MTV show?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm actually doing it.
Yes!
You are?
Now, you're on.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Now, this is an MTV show where they're doing a casting call tomorrow for male virgins.
No, I'm already in. That's the casting call. I'm already in.
What?
You're on the show.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. You've already been accepted on the show, and they're doing a casting call for other people tomorrow?
Yes. I'm already.
This is the best news ever.
Is that true?
Yeah.
How did you get involved?
How did you get involved? Because we had, I think, it wasn't super.
I had a friend who had ties to MTV, and he talked to me about it. I was reluctant at first, and we talked it out, and, you know, it's just, I thought about it, and I thought, you know what, I need to think outside the box.
Oh, my. Oh, how about the twist on that?
Indeed.
We tried to talk him in.
Seriously, guys, I'm tired of just the same old. It's time to shake things up.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
This is a new Nick.
Nick's a new man.
This is Nick 2.0.
Yeah. You know what's funny about Nick 2.0 is that the new Nick wouldn't even sleep with Alex if she begged him. The new Nick doesn't need to settle for super whore.
That's another thing. I want to say on the air, I'm sorry, Alex. I'm sorry I'm such an idiot that I messed up and that I wasn't
a
gentleman.
No, listen to me.
Beautiful and wonderful, and I screwed up, and I was just kind of an idiot, and like...
I think she's going to like the new you.
Yes. I think me is
going to,
you know, be even better.
Okay.
I think we're all going to learn a very important lesson at the end of this.
What's that?
I have no idea.
Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number, and you get on the air, you get a prize.
Well, I don't get the tie-in here. I don't know how this makes sense, but apparently the new Spider-Man 3 video game on your choice of PS3, Wii, or Xbox 360, along with a $30 Chili's gift card. Get moving to Chili's today. Both of those prizes are yours for giving us a call at 1-800-520-1067.
All right, let's begin with Richard in Orange, who's calling about our friend Nick. We were just talking to him a minute ago. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Hey, I'm just wanting to let him know that he's about to lose his job.
Who, Nick is about to lose his job?
Yeah, him and all the other window lookers.
How come?
I was driving down Chapman in Orange, and I saw this mannequin. And he had mechanical arms, and he was waving around a sign just like them window lookers.
Dude, you know, there's a robot sign holder?
Yeah, just like a regular, you know, store mannequin, but the arms were like mechanical and it had a sign and it was trying to, you know, shaking it up, kind of this funny thing.
He can never have the pizzazz that a guy like Nick has.
No.
You can't replace the human element.
I say all the sign holders go and pick it, you know?
Pick it with signs?
Well,
the robot sign holder?
Yeah, they can flip them around, you know?
Make the robot
You can't
feel
stop
bad.
Technology, guys, but I'm not worried about a guy like Nick. He is so versatile. He has so many talents that he can go on and do any number of other things.
It's a good month for him to, you know, move on.
Sometimes that's what you need, a little kick in the ass.
Sure.
Sure.
You can reinvent yourself.
Exactly. Thank you, Richard.
Have you ever had a day like Nick's, though, the way he described it, where he just woke up and he was just on fire with the sense of possibility for his life? I mean, that was pretty remarkable.
I'm going to say no. I don't think I've ever had that kind of day.
I'm more a dose of a reality is what I have.
By the way, Lightning is telling us that the cameras for the show start following Nick this Sunday.
Oh,
my God.
That's so awesome.
How does he not lead with that, by the way?
Yes. How come we didn't already know about this? How did it just happen to come up in a conversation?
Guys, I'm just trying to keep this on the down low. Oh, I forgot to tell you. All right, I have to confess. I have an announcement to make.
Mike and Torrance, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
How about them Ducks on their way to the conference finals again?
How about them Ducks? They are playing some good hockey, and they have had it going on from the beginning of the season with this team.
Absolutely. It's about time that a team in Southern California is putting together a great team.
I have to be honest. Yeah. I wish it were the Kings, but I know I'm not in the majority here. So congratulations to Ducks fans. They're playing great, and they have one more series before they go to the Cup finals.
I think they're going to destroy either team, whether it's Red Wings or Sharks, and I think the Sabres are going to come against them in the finals, and they're going to destroy the Sabres as well.
Boom. By the way, just for the record, it hasn't been the longest drought in sports history, by the way. This area had the Ducks in the Stanley Cup playoffs within the last five years, and also the Anaheim Angels, who went to the World Series within the last 5 years. So it hasn't exactly been a dearth. And the Lakers have been to the NBA finals the last 5 years, too.
Yeah, but it's been a while.
Yeah, but you make it sound like, oh, our long suffering is finally over. You know how many cities there are that never have a championship?
But they should think of that before they move there, Bean. All right, let's go to Jose in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jose.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hi, Jose.
Hey, how's it going, Lisa? So, anyway, me and my brothers, you know, we were at Coachella this weekend, and we were able to get all the way to the front of the second barricade. And as soon as rage started, you know, we were already thinking that we were going to get crushed, but we didn't realize it was going to be that bad. You know, we had, like, the pressure of, like, all those thousands of people behind us pushing us against the barricade.
Dude, there was pushing against the barricade. For those of you that weren't there at the rage show, there was pushing, and they were pulling people out of the crowd to kind of rescue them before the band got on.
My God. Yeah.
In between the break, between the two last bands.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Can you imagine getting all the way up to the front for Rage Against the Machine, and then you get crushed and pulled out, and you got to go to the back, and rage comes on, and you miss it all?
That's exactly what happened.
Nice.
I was there with my younger brothers, and the only way I was able to get them out was by throwing them up against the crowd, you know, and made them crowd surf. Luckily, we had a plan, you know, me by the K-Rock tent, which was very close by the time Rage showed up. And me, you know, I still couldn't breathe, you know, it was so hot in there.
So did you get to see the band at all?
Yeah, from by the K-Rock stage, the K-Rock tent.
So only 300 yards away.
Yeah, you know, I was right there, you know.
Sure.
And I was sitting all the way in the back. So, you know, other than that, my brother came out without a shoe. My other brother almost came out without his pants.
How long is this story?
Thanks for the call, Jose.
Jesus, God!
I have to tell you one thing, and that is that it was impossible to get to the front, which is funny.
I think we established that early on
which is
in
funny.
The story.
Which is
exciting
crowded.
Story.
Crowded and pushing. Got that. Someone lost a shoe. I was out. That's when I was done. Let's talk about clothing.
Let's talk a little bit of Spider-Man. It debuted at midnight at theaters all around the country, and then those all sold out, so they added 3 a.m. showings. So there are actually a lot of people out there who have already seen Spider-Man, and our pal Ryan from San Dimas is one of those. Joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ryan, what it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do, nephew?
What it do, baby boo?
Hey, Ryan.
You saw it already?
Yeah, I saw it at midnight last night.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty
you
much
lose a shoe?
Different story.
Pretty much from the beginning, Mary Jane's a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
And, so I already hated her. But then she has the nerve to go and cheat on Peter Parker.
Oh. Jeez, what a bitch.
And she's ugly.
The damn world.
But at least she's not hot.
Yeah.
So she has that going for her.
Well, he's saving the damn world, and all she can do is cry about her little crappy acting career.
Women have needs.
I don't think she's crying about her little crappy acting career. I think that's going pretty well.
Yeah, in fact. Hey,
No, Mary Jane, the character.
Oh,
is.
The character. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Rate for me Spider-Man 3, how it compares to the first and second in the series.
Oh, it's definitely better. It's probably the best one.
Oh.
Best of the three. All right. I'm glad to hear that.
Now, that's did you see all three at midnight on the night before?
No. I didn't see all three in a row.
No, I didn't ask if you saw three. Oh, never mind.
Doesn't matter.
Thanks. All right, let's do one more. Let's go to Mike in Panorama City, who also is calling in about the Spider-Man. Hey, Mike, what it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
When I was waiting for Spider-Man 3, I noticed a lot of fat lesbian girls at the theater.
Those were just all geeky dudes.
Yeah, and also I noticed how ugly Kirsten Dunst is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hideous.
We feel like we're the only ones.
Forever.
Yeah, but the worst thing was a lot of black women were yelling out in the theater, "Oh, no, he didn't."
That's the best. Which theater did you go to?
To the Promenade on Woodland Hills.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah. A lot of black ladies were yelling out, he crying.
"Oh, no, he didn't."
Fantastic.
That's funny.
That's what
you
I want
spin
in the
spin that web, boy.
Listen, mate, Gene Simmons here.
Yeah.
I also sling a sticky web. I don't know if you know that.
Oh,
thank you, Gene.
You guys encouraged him to do that. I just want to remind you.
But back when it was good.
You and Ralph.
Yeah. We wanted it to be funny, like in the old days.
Today, you and Ralph said, "Hey, why doesn't he do more?"
Shut up.
We were talking about when it used to be good, when back in the old days.
Oh, that's right.
It was funny when he tried. All right, I want to thank our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including actor Peter Krause. His film is called Civic Duty in theaters today. Also, thanks to Sugar Shane Mosley for joining us. Oscar De La Hoya versus Floyd Mayweather is going to be tomorrow night. Why was it so hard for you to buy the fight, by the way, Kevin? Why didn't you take a half an hour to pay-per-view?
By the way, and I couldn't buy it yesterday. I spent a half hour trying to buy it, and it wouldn't let me. I want to give them my money.
Too many buttons to press for Kevin.
I can't get pay-per-view, Alex.
We have a recap of that on Monday morning.
Can't wait.
We have Allison Hannigan on Monday morning.
I might punch her. I might punch her because I'm still in fight mode.
Try not to. We like her, Ralph.
Oh, all right.
She's cool. And tickets, don't forget, go on sale tomorrow at noon. Cinco de Mayo noon. Proceeds from the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta benefit Heal the Bay, the Surf Rider Foundation, and AIDS Services Foundation, Orange County. And if you'd like more information, go to krock.com. And if you don't get your tickets tomorrow at noon, and God knows everyone always does, then we'll give you some more on Monday morning.
Okay.
Back to you, Bean.
This is where you hit the button every Friday.
It's not me.
It's never been me. It's always you.
Goes into the song.
What song?
Show is gone.
Ralph, I'm moving to Philadelphia and I'm going to live with you. I got to get away from this.
I think this is going well.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Is just Nietzsche's way of saying hi.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one, just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Smoke weed.
And I need another.
Beautiful Cat Corbett is coming up with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Tiger Army, one of the bands that's playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast and Fiesta. Their song is Forever Fades Away. Also, Foo Fighters, Killers, Chili Peppers, and New Queens of the Stone Age on the way.
Roll another one.
Munchies. Who wants munchies?
Just like the other one.
You want to get high?
No.
This one seems to be about.
Why do you smoke marijuana?
It's really very simple. I smoke it because I enjoy it.
Let's pass it around.
I'm so high.
This concludes our broadcast day. The only time of the day I get to try out my Fred Schneider B-52's voice. Now try to get some sleep out there. Not bad. Getting better.
All right. Well, I'll leave you to say that, and I'll just thank you for joining me as you're saying that. Being from KROQ, I do appreciate you being on Showbiz Tonight.
Thank you for having us. Popo's out.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
You guys were so baked, you didn't sound anywhere near as good as you thought you did. I was in the audience.
And here we thought the weed was inspiring us.
See you guys, Seacrest, out, bye-bye.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.